besides that, what'd you do today?
Took a nap, masturbated, ate some nachos. That was about
not necessarily
all at the same time.
All at once. Laying on the bed,
well,
nachos on my lap.
Get the creamy topping on the nachos.
Right. It's like, who put sour cream on my nachos?
Oh. No, I had nachos today, too, and now they can't look at them the same.
You will never look at sour cream covered nachos again the same way.
And yet this entire conversation leaves me less uncomfortable than GoBusters this week.
Mateo, ready?
And now it's time for another superhero time. With your hosts, XV.
It's time for something stupid.
Hey, Mickey.
In the butt.
Paladin.
And then you'll cut to an old man playing with his nuts.
Ken.
I can one-up that with my snake.
JD Church. And Fort Max.
Squirtle.
It's morphin' time.
It's superhero time. Something, something, dark side, something.
Huh?
Wasn't that the second Family Guy Star Wars special, something,
yeah,
something?
Something, something, dark side, something.
Yeah.
Don't quote Family Guy. That's like that's the second least funny thing you can do.
It is. I really like that title.
Yeah.
Never required me to give a crap about anything related to Family Guy, though.
It's okay. In general, I think Family Guy is completely retarded, too, but I like the title of that Star Wars special.
Ah, okay.
It at least seemed more straightforward comedic than Blue Harvest.
Yeah, which was a little heady.
Uh-huh.
I never actually got the joke with that, so.
Oh, well, it's the...
Don't explain it.
Yeah, if you explain it, then it won't be funny anymore.
It's not even funny. Like, that's the whole problem.
You're superhero time. Nothing is funny.
That's the problem, is it's really not even funny.
Yeah.
It's
just an early name that was being used in...
Oh, God, you're explaining it anyway.
He couldn't take it. He couldn't take it. He was sitting there going, I have to say it. Someone has to say it. All right, look, they were trying to hide the movie for Jedi, and so they called it Blue Harvest because everybody was trying to overcharge him. That's it.
You know, at least earlier when we were talking about, like, electrical engineering stuff, Fort Max was qualified to step in and, like, you know, authoritatively talk about that since he graduated from school to do a job like that.
Mechanical engineering.
Yeah.
Well, engineering is engineering. I mean, it's only
sure.
Electronics mechanical.
Space though. Engineering, geological engineering, electrical engineering, those are all the same.
Yeah, yeah. Fort Max is a space.
And bombing engineering.
Bombing engineering. Your mom engineering.
Well, that takes only a nickel, so it doesn't take much.
Mm.
Mm. So that's just plumbing anyway.
Yeah.
No, your mom is like astrophysics.
Well,
that's like a black hole. I mean, that's like...
It's just not expensive is all.
Right.
It's an Einstein-Rosen bridge.
Well, it's expensive, but that's entirely after the fact.
Oh, yeah. The doctor is
treatment.
You stick your hand...
Einstein, Rosentaint.
Yeah, Rosentaint. You stick your hand in her vagina, it comes out of Rob Schneider's mouth. I don't know why that happens.
Wow!
So, you know, we were off because I'm having technical problems with my Skype recorder, and... We spent the first 10 minutes of the show talking about JD's homemade nachos, and we're just having a little bit of trouble focusing.
It's going to be one of those shows, kids.
And this is different from normal how.
Every show is one of those shows.
Because
this time it's about nachos.
Usually we don't ruin nachos for Ken forever. So it's a little bit different.
If ever you're serving nachos to Ken, make sure you put like an extra dollop of sour cream right on the top. He loves it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Creamy.
Especially
some on his pants.
Especially if you got like the squeeze bottle of sour cream, just you know, leave little spurts of it.
Yeah.
They put sour cream in squeeze bottles.
That would be awesome.
Yes, actually. Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Me?
They'll put anything in a squeeze bottle.
But it doesn't work that well. I tried that for tacos because it's kind of hard to apply sour cream to a taco without getting like taco meat and lettuce stuck on the knife.
Not really.
So you want something you could just aim and squirt sour cream wherever you wanted to go.
That's right.
Well, you know, they have that at Taco Bell.
So we're going to have, like, you know, two where we could point and direct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They have those at Taco Bell, though. That's how they apply sour cream to stuff at Taco Bell.
Don't squirt it on your face, though.
They got this tube, they squeeze it, and it squirts out the end.
That's right. But you just squeeze it firmly.
I think they have those at every restaurant, actually, to dispense sour cream onto your food.
Hopefully.
Yeah, probably. Oh, so this is superhero time. This is the Toku podcast.
We talk about Japanese shit.
Well, I'm sure the Japanese have one of those in their restaurants, too. It's just not as big.
And it's pureed fish.
Right.
Fish sour cream?
Sure.
Yeah, never let them take your plate back and put special sauce on it. No, no.
No.
Although, I mean, the mayonnaise concoctions they have for sushi are kind of nasty anyway. Although, I hate mayonnaise to start with.
I've always kind of suspected those are actually American ideas.
Actually a what?
An American idea. They don't really have those sauces in Japan. Cause...
Oh, they've got all kinds of mayonnaise for sushi in Japan.
Yeah, it's really? French. It's a French influence, isn't it?
Apparently the Japanese love their mayonnaise.
Oh, man, I love mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise kind of makes me ill.
Oh, I love it.
I'm kind of there. I only have
the tiniest quality.
Yeah. I make my own mayonnaise. I make homemade mayonnaise every week. Oh, yeah, it's so good.
Nice.
It's just different from your sour cream.
Right.
Well, the sour cream he makes
I make the sour cream sauce every day or so.
Yeah. That's what I was just saying.
Yep.
So, Paladin, what do we have in the last 2 weeks of news?
Save us.
Yes.
With news.
Well, this is never going to go anywhere if I don't stop. We're never going to get away from the sour cream. If
I don't think we'll get away anyway, but okay.
We can try.
A wizard did it.
Yeah.
And on that note,
right.
According to trademark information, the name of the next Kamen Rider series is Kamen Rider Wizard.
Okay.
Sure,
and
why not?
That's pretty much all we know about it, because the last round of rumors were completely debunked just in the last couple days.
Yep. Wow.
Several rounds of rumors have been completely debunked.
Yes, but the latest round was...
Wasn't the latest one the supposed leaked images really just the original Chinese superhero Do Not Steal?
Oh, God.
The last one I knew about was the rumors that it was going to be, like, all Full Metal Alchemist stuff.
Well, I was more talking about the supposed leaked pictures that really were just China's Kamen Rider knockoff.
There's supposedly leaked pictures every day.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to that because I don't go to 4chan.
Yeah, but I think there should be a press conference or something in the next couple weeks, usually about mid-July.
Yes, by July or so, we should at least see what he looks like.
Yeah, if not next week or so. Because there should be magazines out at the end of the month.
At the very least, probably when they start running the movie clips in Forze's intro.
Yeah, well, that won't be until August, so...
Well, so what are you guys expecting as far as design-wise?
A hat.
I want
a cape.
Hats and
I'm expecting
cape.
A more complicated okay. design. Ooh. More like O's.
So something more like Kiva Emperor then?
Yeah. I'm expecting more along those lines.
Yeah.
See, what I want Wizard to have a series of different hats, and that's how the power-ups are applied.
And the next step of Forze's helmet.
So is this going to have, like, 5 Z's? Is it going to be Wizard?
V-Zard.
V-Zard. There you go. V-Zard.
That was one of the rumors, yes.
Well, we know how it's pronounced. It's just pronounced normally like Wizard, so I don't think it would be that, because otherwise it would be something slightly different.
Well, not necessarily, because look how O's was written and pronounced.
Good point. Yeah.
Kamen Rider Ooh.
Yeah, when we first saw that, people probably would have thought it was like O-U-S.
I think this is going to revolve around rings. Golden
five rings.
It's proven so far.
5 golden rings.
By your powers combined, he is Kamen Rider?
No, more sure. Like the Christmas song, you know. 5 gold rings.
Golden, not gold.
Whatever.
But yeah.
Well, what would the next year's series be about then?
Sex.
Remove all the subtext.
Yeah, that's right.
It would be about somebody with six toes.
Well, you got to think every Kamen Rider series for the past few years has had a double meaning in its name, so there's probably going to be something in that at least.
So that's what I'm saying. It's going to be based off like, you know, the stupid slang term from England.
Yeah.
So what else is up?
Well, while we're still speculating on that, we have a bunch of new details for Power Rangers Megaforce.
That
was kind of my reaction. Megaforce.
However, the thing is that it's pretty much incompatible with Ghostsager's plot.
Oh, that's good.
Ghostsager had a plot?
That's good.
A bad plot, but sure.
It had one. It wasn't good.
But it was there.
Yeah, remember. So, not liking the plot is not equal to the absence of a plot.
Yes.
All right, so what do we got?
Have a plot was Decade.
Well.
Yeah, it's all his fault. Anyway, Megaforce will span 2 seasons of 20 episodes and 2 holiday specials each.
Right.
So
just like
that's
Samurai.
4 more than Samurai, actually.
Yay, holiday specials.
No, Samurai is due for 40 episodes and 2 holiday specials.
And they're saying Megaforce will have 44.
Two seasons spanning 5 years.
Which means it'll go through 2014.
Right. And they're going to be so far removed from Sentai by the end of that.
True, but
and
at the same
can't
time...
And they apparently can't skip a series either.
Yes.
But at the same time, it also gives them the opportunity to, like, be able to take all of the Sentai at once and not just go...
It's going to be like, by the time they're...
But how old are the Gokhydra suit, monster suits going to be by the time they get to use them?
About 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
They should be holding up great by that point.
If they'll be using them in the meantime, it probably won't be that bad.
Yeah, if they store them, because they're not going to be using them for much. Probably.
No, now that Super Hero Wars is over, they probably won't be hauled out again.
Unless they keep doing those.
We're going to see what comes next April for the, like, mega movie event, but...
Yeah, well, considering how well it did at the box office, I can't imagine they're thinking of something.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not just going to be, you know, all Sentai versus all
next
right.
Next series,
yeah.
We're going to never see the regular Rider openings or Sentai endings ever.
There'll be a movie every
promoting a movie for both year round, and the regular Rider openings and regular Sentai endings will be only on the DVDs and Blu-rays.
All we'll ever see is a Sentai opening. That's it.
That's not their fault. A wizard did it.
Ha! That's not gonna get old at all.
Yeah. That will stay fresh and hilarious for the next year and a half.
Anyway.
Megaforce.
Blew your sour cream early with that one.
Mm.
But yes, apparently Megaforce will have a bunch of returning.
Yeah, there's a quote from one representative saying Megaforce will have historic Rangers. I don't know if that'll actually be applied to anything, though.
Historic Rangers?
Well,
it'll be the ones from Colonial Angel Grove.
God.
And the Wild West.
Yeah.
That's what they should start doing with, like, the American Power Rangers series, is start to have every series have, like, a flashback to the Old West. You know, so instead of doing the Indo period.
The Angel Grove much easier with them shooting in New Zealand.
Well, yeah, they wouldn't have to fly so far to get to that little spot in Australia.
Yeah.
Nice.
Always must be on the West Coast, too.
Right.
Yes.
I'm a little more hopeful about Megaforce just because it looks like they are trying to do something different with it.
Another quote from the representatives interviewing the Megaforce creators. We are different from the Japanese series, a completely different show.
Except for the last 2 years.
It sounds like they're aware of Ghostsager's reputation.
And also,
or Samurai's reputation.
Also, I think they probably finally had a talk with Phasor and said that, no, you you're not going to just be rehashing the plot again.
Have you seen Ghost Ager?
You think they might, like, spend a little bit of budget on actors?
No.
Okay.
No.
The budget was part of the problem with Samurai's actors. The other part, which we've talked about a few times before, is that...
The terrible contracts.
Yes, the Bond wants really specific contract terms, which are incredibly restrictive on the actors for what they can even do in their private time.
No masturbation. And,
yeah, no nachos for them.
and I believe are exclusive contracts for, like, 2 years, even though the shooting took one.
Something like that, yeah.
So like, for no film or no acting, period? Well, I guess in New Zealand, that can't make that big of a difference.
Yeah, I wonder if that has any kind of reaction from what happened with Eka Darville.
Huh?
Immediately after he left RPM, he went and had butt sex on screen in Spartacus.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were a little unpleased about that people could connect those two series back-to-back like that.
Hmm. Back-to-back.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not back. It's more like.
But considering that they brought back Wild Force from the Red Wild Force actor.
But there's more time in between on that, though. Like, people have forgotten.
Yeah, nobody remembers who Rick Medina is.
Plus, you know, with Spartacus got a lot of mainstream attention.
Yeah, it's true.
And they're probably only a news blurb away from saying. This character having butt sex you just saw on Power Rangers kids show.
That probably happened somewhere.
I'm sure.
That was the remastered version.
So the top choices for the Samurai auditions passed on it because of the contracts.
Yeah.
These were the top choices who would agree with the contract terms.
And now we see why they'd agree with the terms. They were desperate.
Because nobody else would hire them.
Well, hey, at least it wasn't TJ Roberts again. You know,
which one was
Rider.
He again?
Masked Rider.
Oh, okay.
Not too far removed from
which plumbing store he works for now.
There's an Ace Hardware with his name on it somewhere.
Well, he works at an Ace Hardware with his name on a shirt.
different.
No, they have aprons there.
I'm sure after the last 20 years, he could have risen to manager.
Oh, no, that's like assistant manager.
But did you say ridden the manager?
That's probably both. That's probably how he got to assistant manager.
I'm not allowed to make that decision on my own. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I can stock
the
shelf.
All right, what else is news?
Right now, the placeholder name for Gosei Knight is Robo Knight.
Oh.
Fantastic.
That's creative.
Hopefully that is just a placeholder.
Nah.
Based on Samurai, I'm not optimistic yet.
Oh, I'm not optimistic at all.
If it's just a placeholder, then what we're going to get is going to be like, you know, Night Ranger.
Wouldn't your other option be like Mega Knight or something?
Force Knight?
I can see them probably going Mega Knight.
You know, if they're keeping Master Head or whatever analog as Gosei in Megaforce, they really could still just call him Gosei Knight.
It's true.
I mean, there's no particular reason that they couldn't.
Yeah, it's true.
I wouldn't be surprised that the reason they're keeping a lot of the names is because of all the effects that show the names being all over the place.
There's that, and it's still early in the process. You know, they're not going to start shooting for, you know, a few months at least. And the show's not going to start until February or March. So there's a lot of post-production time to redub over stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's kind of like probably going to be just the names being kept for some of the things for the exact same reason that they kept the names for the Mega Voyager and Mega Winger.
Yeah.
True. It worked out pretty well for them during In Space that Galaxy Mega didn't have a name tag.
Yeah.
Which it's weird that that's the only one that didn't then. But anyway, I wonder... Okay,
well, the Delta Mega didn't either, but it didn't have a cockpit.
Yeah, nobody drove it. So.
Well, it did have a cockpit, but it was always this room with a bunch of just random light panels on it that never had any lights.
Yeah, this way too, Delta Mega and Delta Megazord, there's nothing removed between them. It could have had a Delta Mega name tag on it and still be called Delta Megazord.
Yeah, still just think about it.
So, remember Power Rangers 2010 line, there was the alpha figure with the little Zordon in the tube? Do you think we'll get a Datus Hyper figure with a little master head accessory?
Now, probably.
Master head will turn into a spider.
Oh, yes! Then a scorpion.
No. Remember,
probably a lobster.
Remember, Datus Hyper was a Megazord, too, so he's the one who has to turn into a spider.
Or a lobster. Oh, yeah, to keep in line with what happens to Daigoya.
Right.
No, wait. Datus will turn into the ostrich.
Oh, God.
You know, depending how they would get that to turn out, I wouldn't necessarily be against it. I have to be honest here. I would not necessarily... I would not mind that.
So then Datus Hyper would wear himself as a hat.
It somehow would just remove Datus from the show entirely, but...
Actually, that's probably how they're going to sell it. They'll sell those two in the same package, I bet. If they make an actual $20 Megazord.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a big if.
Yes.
Then this question, how are they going to sell the headers?
Oh.
They won't.
No, they will, but most of them will be in those training sets that have the big stuff, that have weapons that you already have.
The mask and the belt?
Yeah, the mask, the belt, and the weapons. Because that's the only way to get the other discs in the samurai.
Yeah, so see, what they'll do for the first half of Megaforce, they're going to ignore that the headers exist altogether. And then for the second half, they'll play catch-up with it. They have to rebuy a bunch of stuff if you want all the header add-ons.
Reuse vanilla Gosei great footage over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Yummy.
The scalper in me is getting excited, though.
Maybe they'll package a header with every figure.
Maybe they'll turn the headers into motorcycles.
See, that would be the smart way to do it, so that's why they won't. Like, there are a dozen different ways you could do it and do it well.
I think there's a difference between smart
and
like,
Bandai.
Helpful and what you would do to make money.
And Bandai.
Plus, of course, you know, these toys are all going to be new, original designs.
Yeah.
So the headers may end up working differently with the toy mechanics we get.
Yeah.
How can they work differently? All you do is just sit them on. You just plug them in like Legos. I mean, they don't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well,
I don't know if they'll make Bandai-exclusive American headers.
Spider header.
Yes.
Scorpion header.
Yes.
Spider header singing the Go On True theme.
I know, just who I'd buy that for.
Hi, Wingus.
I don't think he listens anymore. He doesn't like us. I think it was all the spiders and Go On True themes. Imagine that.
Well, with sour cream this week, we might lose a few more people.
A few more persons, you mean?
No, we can't go into negative numbers.
I was going to say, we're going to have anti-listeners.
Bizarro listeners?
They download the show and then delete it. Just to...
Yeah, let's be honest.
Haha, bastards, I deleted your show.
The tape over us.
Yeah. They download the show, dub it to an audio cassette, and then tape over it.
and then they feel better.
Yes. And then they poop on it.
Exactly.
Why do you have a 2.5-hour mix of Call Me Maybe? Let me explain about that.
Oh, my God.
Okay, more news. Paladin.
Well, that's it for show production, but we have a lot of merchandise stuff.
Okay,
first
well,
up... There's Megaforce Mega Blocks on display at one licensing expo.
Okay.
And
Link?
Yeah, really. Where's my Linky?
Oh, just a second here. And
please stand by for Linky.
Yeah, it's pretty much Gosei Great again.
I was going to say, is it Megablock Go Say Great already?
I want to see that. Cool.
I'd buy
that, really.
Megablock Samurai Megazord is supposed to be pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's nice. I like it a lot. It's fun.
I've heard that the Megablocks are actually pretty decent.
Yeah, the only downside to the Samurai Megazord is that the stickers for it are a little bit larger than the pieces, so you have to trim some edges off.
That's still not as bad as what some LEGO sets have done, where you have a sticker going over multiple pieces.
That is the
greatest sin anyone could possibly
That seems anti-intuitive to a building block toy.
A little bit.
Yeah, but I'll frequently like, kind of walk by the blind packs of the samurai stuff, and I'm like, I kind of want, but don't, because that's a rabbit hole I don't want to go down.
Yes, that's a very slippery slope, buying a blind pack figure.
If the Power Rangers Megablock figures were made to the same style as like the Halo Megablock figures, I probably would get a few of them.
Yeah,
it's just such a letdown when you know that there is a variety that has elbows and knees possible, and these don't.
Yeah. The Halo ones are pretty good.
Megablock Go Say Great looks better than you'd probably expect for a Megablock Go Say Great.
Yeah. It looks like a Megablock Go Say Great.
It is already more than I expected from Megaforce.
Okay, so next piece of merchandise.
More important stuff, the long-awaited SH Figuarts Gokai Christmas.
Yay!
Oh, man.
Were we actually awaiting that? Or
I was.
Okay.
And we're
and
getting
it has, a new, head, has a new head, too.
So that's going to be a web exclusive, right?
Oh, yeah.
A Toei Hero exclusive, yes.
Oh, crap.
And it'll be released in December.
Fantastic.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, it's like buying it on Christmas this year.
Yeah.
Oh, it won't cost that much. The Toei Hero stuff doesn't usually cost any more in aftermarket anything.
Well, this is a Gokaiger, though.
Yeah. Neither the girls.
The only Gokaiger that doesn't cost on the secondary market is Gokai Silver.
Well, now anyway, if you bought him on time when they came out, it'd be a different matter.
Yeah, he's not writing himself anymore, so the price has dropped.
Yeah. Shame too. They're nice figures.
Oh yeah.
So I'm really not surprised Gokai Christmas is getting made. I mean,
nah, not at all.
It's one of the simplest wacky things they can do.
But they still haven't done gold mode,
which is weird. You'd think, I mean, because they seem
as
to be
much as
on
they expanded
the,
on the show.
Yeah, and they've expanded the Sentai figure art so much, but that seems like an odd one to leave out of everything.
Well, okay. At the same time, though, they haven't released the super mode parts for Deno Climax form either.
True.
So, true. I mean, there's, like, power-up stuff waiting around to come out.
Yeah.
Maybe they've had enough Climaxes and need to take a few weeks off.
Although, that can lead us into the next long-awaited figure art, Zeronos.
Oh, I missed that.
Really?
Yes, I somehow did.
Yeah, so in October, there's going to be Figuarts Zeronos Altair form.
Oh, sweet.
To go with the Deneb that you don't have, so they can make Vega form later.
Deneb was the first non-human Figuart release, wasn't he?
I think Momotaros was.
If I could just get that Zeronos in sword form, I think I'd be fine.
And that should be mass release, I believe.
I totally lost Paladin there.
He said he thinks it should be mass release instead of a...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Zeronos is regular retail.
Your mom is a mass release.
Yeah.
She releases her mass often.
I think I still like SIC Zeronos better, but...
I'll admit the SIC design for that is a lot more interesting looking.
Well, it's like you go to SIC for different kind of interpretations of the design. You get a figure arts for more show accuracy.
I mean, if I ever went to the point of getting double figures to be able to recombine into all the forms, I'd probably want to go with the SICs on that because that interpretation of the suit looks so good.
And the double form change ones just don't look like they have good proportions.
Except yeah,
they've got sort of a 90s Toy Biz vibe to them.
Yeah, I've got a form change XL, and that's actually really nice for the budget figure. And, you know, it's bulky, so it's got that over the figure art, too. But the double body, yeah, it seemed to suffer for having to split in half top to bottom. But what are you going to do? You know, I think that's probably about the hardest transformation gimmick they could have tried to emulate like that. Mm. And still keep a decent action figure on it. You know, even O's, the way he split, it still left... It left the figure able to have normal proportions and mostly standard articulation. There wasn't any real losses from that except maybe a waist joint.
Then, of course, Forza ends up the best one of them because he doesn't have any of that stuff to deal with.
But then you get screwed by not being able to buy all the accessory parts.
Well, actually, you can now because there's a Tamashii web-exclusive Deluxe Forza module chain system with all 40 switches.
Yep.
And the regular base states.
Yep.
And a big wall to hang it all on.
Had a limited run of 8,000 figures for the low, low price of 12,600 yen.
They're calling 8,000 pieces limited?
Technically, yes.
Technically,
I foresee that being not very expensive on Mandarake next year.
Yeah.
Which is good. Maybe I'll buy one if I can get a good deal on it.
I think the Forza is actually a clear one that comes with it.
No. There was something else that was going to have a clear Forza. This looked like a regular Forza.
Oh, I think... Okay. Never mind. Maybe there was a clear one out there somewhere.
I remember seeing the clear one with some selection of modules, but I don't remember the
details.
Maybe
it was the one that didn't come with his form changes.
But again, it only comes with base, so you'd still have to get Elec, Cosmic, Magnets, and Fire if you wanted to have a complete Forza.
Yeah, see, they should have bumped it up to an even 20,000 yen and put, you know, all of the Forza forms in there with the modules.
Damn, that'd be almost tempting.
Wouldn't it, though? Bump it up to 20,000, make it a limited run of 1,000 pieces instead. Then they'd actually have something there.
Yeah.
Then they would have something worthy of being called a Tamashii Web exclusive.
That's becoming diluted more and more each day, I think.
Did we talk about Figuarts Powerdizer on our last show?
No, but since we're segueing into Tamashii Web exclusives, it's a good time for it.
Exactly, that's kind of how I thought of it. XB is on the ball.
You found it?
You found your one ball.
But the screw is still missing.
And I have my pen though, so that's important.
I will say the Powerdizer does look ridiculously nice. I'll never be able to afford that, but
how much is that?
You can put it right next to your machine attacher.
It is 8,925 yen. Before markups for middlemen.
Oh, so that's only like $115 before shipping. Awesome.
Well, with the middleman markups and the reshipping, you're going to be looking at about 170.
Yeah.
Yes. Because shipping would be high for that one. It's big in metal.
Well,
it's going to be shipping for the Powerdizer is going to be EMS only because of the size and weight. So yeah, it's going to add a lot on.
Well, I don't see here though. Does it do the launch mode?
No,
it probably doesn't transform either.
That's the football pose.
Yeah, it does do the football pose. That's great, but I want to know if it does the launch mode.
JD, if you want a transforming Powerdizer, you have to get the deluxe electronic one.
Oh, well, screw that then. No, I can
it's
pass
cheaper.
On this one. Well, I know, but...
Yeah, it comes with Forza's motorcycle, which will be compatible with the base states you already have.
Yeah, the figure art would fit on it fine.
Well, I'll think about it.
That'll come in, right? This Powerdizer comes out.
For me, the Powerdizer hasn't been active enough in the show for so long that I'm kind of just looking at it like, oh, that's nice, but I'm not going to buy it.
I mean, the only reason I would is, like I said, if it did the launcher, but if I can get the other one to do the launcher and the motorcycle and I could set the...
Still better than anything that O's got. Instead, you got a vending machine.
Yeah, you got a Figuarts vending machine.
Really?
Yes.
A box that stands up.
Yes.
That's kind of like
he can knock it on its side, and he can try and ride it like a motorcycle.
That's like an
FU.
Well,
yeah, and in that way, it is show accurate, but still.
Because that was not run into the ground by fans either.
It's kind of a crime that there was not a proper, you know, motorcycle for Figuarts O's. But again, you go back to the deluxe toy for that.
Yeah, here's a weird thing. I was just looking back at stuff, and Figuarts Nick comes with like a weapon mode that he's never ever used.
Yeah, it explains where the extra motorcycle wheel goes.
It does. It's just, you know, 20 episodes in.
He's a non-combatant.
Yeah.
Or maybe Masato has to upgrade him later to do that.
Maybe. It just seems weird to see something like that on a Figuarts.
Plus, they also probably would compensate it because his shooting is probably as bad as his directional capabilities.
Yeah, it just seems odd because usually on Figuarts you don't see stuff that, well, I haven't even seen that in the show yet.
That's true. You don't often see that because usually the stuff is sourced from the show, but...
Yeah, maybe it is and we just haven't seen it yet.
It's possible.
On the other hand, it's like, okay, what can Nick come with? Well, a can of Enatron, or, hey, let's try to figure out where his rear wheel goes when he transforms.
In his rear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where do you think he pulls it from?
No, his front tire goes in his rear. He's a contortionist. No? Okay.
Sure.
So what's up next?
Okay, the last Thomas U. Webb exclusive for this time is Super Imaginative Gills with the Dark Hopper.
Huh. That's got to be expensive.
It's the same price as Power Dizer.
Ouch. So, okay, so Gills comes with another Agito's bike?
Yes. But it says here the bike has parts that can be switched to resemble the different bikes.
Oh, okay, so it's going to transform between the Gills Rider and the Dark Hopper.
Yes.
That makes a little more sense.
Yeah, that works.
Wonderful SIC.
That's so the financially sound reasoning for releasing.
Your mom is a financially sound reason for releasing.
Well, it's just the bike, right? It's not, like...
Also Gills. Nachos.
Because they already have a Gills out, right?
No, Gills has been promoted, but I don't think one is actually out.
So this is how they're releasing him.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I'm just looking on this listing here, and it says that it's just the bike and the Thomas E. Webb little banner thing is just showing the bikes. So I think it's just the bike. And it only just transform between both versions.
Did SIC another Agito come out already? Maybe it did, because I remember not being able to tell the difference between that and the way it usually looks. It'd be the same thing if they did SIC Shin.
Oh.
Except nobody would buy that one.
Well, I mean, what more could anybody do to Shin to make it look worse than it already does?
They could put it in Saban's Mass Rider.
Band of America can make it.
It's a shame Shin didn't end up in Saban's Mass Rider somehow.
Why not? Zeto and
Jay.
Jay did.
Yeah. That was great. We watched that episode. Some of us.
No, we didn't.
Well, some of us.
Not me.
Well, the J episode, at least.
We watched G.
We did watch G, but that was too late to be in Saban's Mask Rider.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
So, speaking of watching stuff, it's time for Buster.
We've got two this week, right?
Yes. Hooray. Ken?
I barely even remember last week's.
Well, you better hurry and boost up for Buster there, Ken.
Sure, why the hell not? Let's see here. So, Ryuji comes across Masato and Jay stealing Inertron from a tank with their mecha. And he sorties just to try and pull them off of it.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice guys we have here as our 4th and 5th Rangers. But they point out the obvious fact that Masato's Zord is the same one that had its blueprint stolen by Inter, which all of us surely realize, but nobody in the show pointed out until now.
Right.
But yeah, apparently it was Masato who designed it, which makes me go back and think about that episode. It's like, I thought it was, was the engineer just like a guy working on it? He didn't actually do anything to it?
He found them in a box of cheese one day.
Hey guys, look what I designed.
Everything's better when it comes out of cheese.
Except sour cream.
And poop.
Yeah, so the Busters come up to Masato inflicting more spousal abuse onto Jay. And he's like, you know, dude, you can't just go stealing shit. He's like, what? I need it, you know, to actually be here, guys.
Hey, you're cramping my style.
And Jay just needs it because he's a raging energaholic.
Yeah. But he gets Hiromu all sort of ticked off, which is not really a hard thing to do, but such as he does. He questions whether or not Hiromu and Yoko really want to just go jumping into hyperspace when they know they can survive going in, they just don't have any way to know that they can survive going out. And they, of course, are right on to it while Ryuji just kind of backs them up. Meanwhile, Enter is just sort of talking to himself in hyperspace, actually, and suggesting that they don't go after Beatbuster in their own dimension, because that could cause trouble.
How convenient.
Yes. At least, like, they kind of covered it instead of, like, why doesn't Enter not hunt him down? Well, because he doesn't want to destroy his own world. Just...
He's French. Confrontational.
I reckon you do that because that would be boring for the show.
Yeah.
But so Enter at least realizes when he's not doing something that a normal person would do, and he recovers it.
Yeah.
He is somewhat aware of Sentai tropes.
Yeah. There's the reason Enter is the best character in the show, which is unfortunate because he's only in one of these episodes today. This one.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Misato's at a batting cage, and he chastises Ryuji for giving such a dull response on... Oh, after Enter is in a restaurant all by himself, stabbing meat with a fork.
Mm.
Fork is important.
So, would you say that he's...
Don't. Being...
Damn it!
But no, anyway,
it's important to note that Enter is having a nice steak dinner.
Yes. Man of good taste.
Yes.
But how does he eat? He's technically not human. And he's not even there.
I don't think he was eating the meat.
So where does it go?
Well, he wanted to watch it. He got it rare just so he could watch it bleed.
That's creepy.
Abusing.
Yes, but it fit Enter, don't you think?
He was abusing the meat. Anyway.
Hot
kettle black.
At a random batting cage.
Guilty.
I think Forze fought cancer several months ago. Masato is chastising Ryuji for not having any real motivations except helping Hiromu and Yoko, because his family is not trapped over there. He doesn't really have anything vested in it except, you know, protecting the world. That's, you know, not important or anything.
No. Yeah, real good moral there.
Ryuji,
damn it, Ryuji, why can't your family be dead, too?
He has to protect the other two. He's their mom.
Yeah, of course. And Masato says just that. He's like, you think you're their guardian? He's like, and Ryuji just sticks his nose up in the air and is like, well, I am the oldest.
Although Masato is technically older than him.
No, he's not.
Now he isn't.
We fixed that, too.
It's just like we were talking about on the last show, where Ryuji has now gotten older than his teacher.
Yeah. Anyway, Kuroki is going to deliver a whole big tank of Inertron for Jay and Masato.
You mean Kuroren?
Kuronen? Yeah.
It's still not funny.
But it is funny, though, when Ryuji's talking to him, and then Masato rushes up and grabs his arm. He's like, yeah, dude, thanks, man. Like, he's like, never loses his cool, and he just... He is a nice change of pace for the show, I think, at least. Because everybody else is, you know, relatively by the...
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing of the series...
Stupid.
Yeah,
it's to have them to kind of break up the stuffiness.
Yeah, the whole thing has been like that sort of military style, and you know, and then super he comes in and he's like rock star, you know. He's like, dude, yeah, what's up? Yeah, we're going to kick some ass. Woohoo! Get some chicks.
Yeah, he's awesome.
So,
can we just have a show with him and Enter?
Okay, speaking of Enter, they arrive to where Yoko is delivering the big, huge-ass tank of Inertron, and who should arrive at this target of opportunity but Enter?
Hello!
Naturally. Well, it's not like they could have predicted this or anything.
And he summons the Forkroid.
Can I just say
that at this point, Enter scared me a little bit this episode, but I think I liked it.
Really? when he appeared?
I don't know. It was very intense this episode.
I think he was not really happy about the Beetle Busters in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we get a nice interpretation of the Forkroid's dialogue as he says he's going to fork them up. While in English, Masato shouts, "Oh shit!"
That was awesome.
I love that that's not just some creative translating it. No, he says, "Oh shit," in a children's show.
It was great.
It's not saying much because I remember way back when I was a kid and in Sonic X, Sonic would actually shout that. So it's not something that's necessarily frowned upon, but it's fun for us. Anyhow,
After that excitement, Enter tries to kill them with a Forkroid.
Yes! He has the best choices of better roles. What the f*** are you doing?
That's the Forklift song.
Oh!
Right.
Anyway, moving on. It's morphing time. Everybody transforms. Stagbuster starts to rush off, and it... Beat's like, no, hold on just a second. So it's roll call time. They do the roll call. They fight.
And New Megas jumps in.
Yep.
Though it doesn't look new.
Yeah. New Megazord, of course, it's one of the same old models. And it just
has Nova, right?
It just has a fork on its arm. That's really the only difference from the... It just has a fork on its arm, that's it. Yay. So, that seems boring to start with. Thus, Hiromu and Yoko break off, along with Ryuji, and they go in. Hiromu hits the finishing blow right off, and then, really creepily, a parasite busts out of its back.
Yeah.
Welcome to Enter's interpretation of Masato's design, which is a really f***ing cool-looking Megazord.
It is kind of frightening.
Yeah.
So, Megazord type Delta?
Possibly. But what I like is that it's not like a standard Megazord model with the Monster of the Day stuff slapped on. It seems like it's more integrated into it. So I'm hoping that if we see more of these, it'll look a bit more visually dynamic than what we've been getting so far.
Well, this is the first one that's been produced with, you know, modern...
Yeah, but even with the first time we saw the Megazords, it's always just, you know, stuff slapped onto them. It doesn't look like as much with this guy. But we'll see.
If it ever shows up again.
Yeah.
Which it won't. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Anyway.
Later on, we'll just get the
Metroids with just the same pair of robot pants over and over. Oh, God.
No, okay. It starts beating the crap out of the other busters while the Beetle Busters lay into the Forkroid. They beat it pretty handily with their sword finish.
They forked him up a little bit.
Yeah, they forked him up a bit.
Stop
forking him up good.
It was a really, really, really obvious stock footage finisher. Like, really, really, really obvious. Like, suddenly everything around them just disappears.
So they forked off?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will end this podcast right here.
All the stock footage backgrounds from everyone else just got piled up over in their corner.
Yeah. So, Final Fusion, Go Buster-O, they try to use the Dimension Crush, and guess what? It doesn't work for once. They immediately get knocked out of the combination. Thank God.
Finally, an accuracy.
So, apparently we have now proven that Go Buster-O is not actually good for anything except launching the finishing attack.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Good to know.
And because they ran out of power to hold the combination.
No, shut up, Fort Max.
So anyway, Enter's getting a nut off on seeing them all get the hell blown out of them. While
the nachos?
And Irigi tries to stand in the way of everything to block it for the younger guys. We then get to see a actually fairly cool launch sequence, which we saw last week for the Beetle Busters Zords, which reminds me a lot of the ones from Time Force, Time Ranger, whichever. Same difference.
But they didn't get smacked through the
only thing is missing. Well, it's because this is a post-apocalyptic future now.
Well, they're not coming from the future. They're coming from
hyperspace. I know. That's what it looks like.
Hyperspace could be the future. We don't know that much about it yet.
It looks like the start of, like, Terminator 2 or something.
It's just not the same unless a giant robot smacks him on the ass through a time portal.
This is very true. But yeah, Masato makes a very good point when he saves Ryuji. It's like, you know, it doesn't matter what order you die in if you're all still going to die.
I like him.
I know, right? Yeah. You just change the order you die in. And Enter really starts to get really f***ing pissed when he sees them show up. It's kind of like that episode where they kind of pulled the wool over his eyes when he was going to blow up Usada.
Oh, yeah. He was not happy.
He is not happy at all. But
it's all cool when stuff is even vaguely going his way, but when the stuff starts to just turn over on him, it's
like, not like just normally turn over, just like really hit the fan.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, mother So the Beetle Busters start whipping ass, and then Ryuji gets an idea and steals all the Inertron from Yoko and Hiromu.
Nice!
And he's like, what the hell are you guys doing? And it's like, we're just borrowing this. Since it does make sense, it's better for one of them to be able to fight than for none of them to be able to fight. Attention to logic.
Yay, his balls dropped! Yay!
28 years!
It only took 47 years.
I like Pelton better. And then finally, Masato changes his mecha into its Megazord mode.
Terrible.
We missed the line before that, which was kind of the trigger where Masato was like, yeah, I love being an engineer. That's how I get all the chicks.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know a lot about engineering, but, Fort Max, I was going to ask you.
Fort Max.
Do you get a lot of chicks?
You're an engineer. Is it true that you get all the chicks?
Not in the college, at least, because there's like one chick in the class.
Yeah, but don't like.
She's bust in, isn't she?
So what you're saying is like, you know, the English majors aren't going, oh man, those engineering majors are so dreamy. They're gonna have a real job.
But I did miss one thing where Ryuji finally actually gets a kill on his mecha. By destroying the Alpha after Masato tosses it. And that's like the first time.
Alpha?
Tosses his Alpha. And it's the first time that the gorilla actually gets a f***ing kill and it hasn't been stolen.
We're here
by
to toss your alpha.
And probably last.
Wow.
Yeah, probably last. Well, it's amazing that, although it's amazing that it's still being used, so we got to give it that.
Yeah, but actually, the show is still being pretty good about not just going with the combination.
Thank God.
And, yeah.
But it does. Okay, GoBuster B. I like its design. Yeah, but its first showing is not very impressive.
No, I like what they how it forms the arms with the, it's just the entire crane.
Yeah.
Crane.
That's it. I like its design. It's just that the first fight is boring as hell.
Yeah.
I don't hate its face. How it looks like a big smiling frog.
I was like, oh my God, now I cannot unsee it. Anyhow, day is one. So Masato gives.
I gotta say, I still think it looks f***ing terrible.
Since Ryuji has gotten the motivation to be an engineer again when all this is over, because I guess it's never too late to go back to school, or so they say, Masato gives him a bunch of books and a receipt, because he can't carry money.
No, not a receipt, a bill.
A bill.
A bill.
So here's all these books, and here's the bill where you pay for them.
So he steals Ryuji's wallet and steals all his money. Or most of his money, anyway. I think he left him 10 bucks in there.
And then he sets the example for Yoko and Hiromu.
But the best part is when they're talking about age again. He's like, you're the eldest, right? He's like, no, you are. You know, you see, you turned 28 recently. I'm still 27. You're actually 40. Nah, 27. Hey, thanks, Brig Bro. Peace. Buy me some hookers.
Gramps. Buy me some blow and some hookers.
Well, everybody's fighting over this. Jay is just sitting on sitting like admiring his can. he's admiring his can of Inertron. Flash.
We know what he means.
Mm-hmm. Look at that can.
Look at the inside of this bottle.
Sunglasses in, you know, waltzes off into the sunset while everybody hits up Ryuji for money.
And then in the next episode, Jay is admiring his wood.
But we'll get to that. There is one thing in the ending I had not noticed before where they put the commander like prominently in part of the dance. Is that something new they've added?
Because there was a minor change in the ending in that instead of Winky Coffee drinking his coffee, he sort of like fumbles it.
Yeah, they changed like bits and pieces of it as it keeps going along. It's weird. It's like nothing significant. They just change small things.
They're not changing it. They just refilm it for every episode.
That'd be the best.
Well, they're going to be really good at that dance by the end of the series.
No kidding.
So, JD, why don't you tell us about this week's episode?
All right.
Yay.
Sit back and relax. Let JD tell you a tale. So we start right off with the action. This is an action-packed episode, by the way.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's all out. And there's a couple of things that I like about this episode, but one thing I don't like, and I'll just say that right off the bat because we already mentioned it, no Inner. What the
hell? Yeah. It is really lacking.
How the hell did that work?
I think he might have given himself an aneurysm in the last episode and he needed a break.
He just needed a day off. So they immediately get, like, the Megaroid signal and a Megazord transport signal, and they're like, "Okay, well, how long until the Megazord's here?" Zero.
After Yoko, like 5 minutes ago.
After Yoko is admiring beetles.
Oh, that's right. There's a whole thing with the beetles. I forgot.
Yeah, apparently, 18 episodes in, it was revealed she really likes beetles for some.
There's some really hard translation stuff, I think, that's with this too, because it just didn't.
Yeah.
Apparently, this was very entertaining, and I did not understand why it was entertaining, but.
Well,
I kind of like that.
They're using the scientific names for the beetles, while she's using, like, the Japanese names for them, but then their names are English. So
yeah, it's really. Yeah. There was. Yeah.
I just like that Yoko likes bugs because it's the first likable aspect of her personality they've ever shown.
Yeah.
And then Hiromu comes up and says, okay, that makes perfect sense. Now, if you like flowers, on the other hand, that wouldn't really follow.
Man, Hiromu is such a hit with the ladies. I mean.
Oh, man. He's got moves, huh? So,
he gets to be more and more of a dick as the show goes on. He's not getting kinder. He's getting worse.
Yeah. He's not learning, really.
Nobody minds it now. They just like, oh, that's Hiromu. Okay.
Yeah, he's accepting himself who he really is inside.
He's... he's accepting his inner tool as he goes on throughout the series.
Basically, Hiromu is Dix, and we're just going to move on from there.
Right. So Hiromu is you?
Mm. It's getting to be more and more like that, yes, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
He's just called Yoko Fatmore, and then...
God. So we have the whole discussion about the bug names, which pops up later, but still doesn't make sense. But anyway, so they get the Metaroid and alert, and then the Megazord transfer, and the time remaining is zero.
And you know what? Also, that cuts right to the opening. One thing I meant, they were really kind of lazy inserting Masato and Jay into the opening, because it's like they get one shot. And that's
yeah,
it.
That's it. There's okay. No like.
What I'm thinking about that is, you know, there's still a larger combination to come up. I think it's just temporary. They're going to update it better.
Yeah, I think maybe after the movie. Really. I think after the movie, maybe they'll change some stuff up or I don't know.
But it's like they haven't even added Go Buster Row into the opening.
Nope.
It's not.
Yeah, I'm expecting after Buster Hercules at least.
Yeah.
Or great Go Buster Row.
But
it's really not that great.
Yeah.
It turns out that...
It's not like, well, it's still more than, say, Dragon Ranger or Kiba Ranger ever got.
Yeah, but nowadays they do change it up a little bit more.
Like, yeah, that was 20 years ago, so...
Yeah, Gokaiger, they changed up a lot of things in it.
Of course,
they changed
Gokaiger
almost every couple episodes.
Kiba Ranger was only even in like 10 episodes after he was introduced.
Yeah. And Gokaiger kept changing every single time they got a mech upgrade.
Yeah. So, anyway, what happens is there's a big hole in the ground. And,
Oh boy.
The Megazord is down there.
Remember what happened last time it was on the ground?
This
is important to note.
Yeah. So they're like, well, we could.
This time Yoko doesn't shoot Hiromu because she says she's too fat to get down the hole.
Yeah. They're like,
well,
she can't.
Mentions that Usada's too fat to get down the hole.
Well, that's the thing. She was saying she could go down, but she can't fly down because of the rotors.
Yeah,
it's definitely too small of a hole for Gurasaki to get down. And then...
Nick's like, man, I ain't sliding
down.
Yeah,
Nick's like, because Roma's like, well, we could just put our arms on the wall and we could slide down. And Nick's like, no, we can't. That would be bad. So, no, I don't like that idea.
Probably get lost.
So as they're standing around trying to, like, figure this out, they're like, well, we'll take... And is it a new one, the sensor? What was the sensor mode, I think, was...
No, analyze mode. They used
analyze mode. I guess they used to use that once before. But anyway, they're like, all right, we'll take some more readings. Go take care of the Metaroid. So they go to take care of the Metaroid, and it's a drill thing. Haven't we seen this before?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
It is now Gurren Lagann colors of the Drillroid from back with the episode I was talking about earlier with Ryuji's old engineer friend.
And this Metaroid seems a bit...
No, it's not Gurren Lagann colors. It's a Char custom Drillroid.
No, Char doesn't have any blue.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
But they, he definitely has
a blue on the side of it.
It has the same Mark II written on it that Tuberoid Mark II had.
Yeah, it does, actually, yeah.
This Metaroid seems a bit confused.
Yeah, he
it seems with the Kansi dialect, which the standard go-to is Southern for that.
Ah, okay. So he's a little bit confused. Not really sure. It's like he's not in the right place. They argue with him for a minute and kind of fight with him. And then he just drills into the ground and he's gone. And so it's about that time that Masato and Jay show up. And they're like, no, we kids, we got this. You know, so we're going to do this thing and you two are going to come with me. And then Jay is going to stay with Yoko and we'll all be cool. And they're like,
So then Hiromu backtalks him. And
yeah, Hiromu like, the best part here. So Hiromu kind of backtalks him, and he's like, you know what? I tell you what, look at this. Shows him a picture of a chicken. He immediately freezes.
Then he pastes it to his face.
Then he sticks it to
his...
And then puts the helmet back on so it'll stay there. And puts the helmet back on.
Then he transforms so he can carry him.
Well, yeah, he goes to try to pick him up. He's like, oh, he's too heavy. And so he pulls
out...
he's like,
Jay, come over here so I can transform.
Like, yeah,
Jay,
so he pulls
out... Get over here. And that does show what happens when he transforms and Jay doesn't, because I was kind of wondering about that.
Yeah, because, of course, that all comes out of, it's broadcast out of Jay as
well.
Apparently,
it's just copied off of Jay.
Yeah, but so he just picks up Hiromu like a mannequin and goes to walk off with it.
Like, peace, bitches.
And Ryu's like,
and then's like, hey, Ryuji, come here, come along. Good boy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, all right, let's go, kids.
And this does one thing which I do like in this episode, and it separates Jay and Misato.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of the cool things is when you have kind of a split up of the team.
Yep. Yeah, well, because I've been worrying since we found out what, you know, Sagbuster was going to be, that he would just kind of always be second fiddle.
Be tethered.
Tethered to a Beatbuster, or always second fiddle, and he might still be.
He's not second fiddle. Jay's first fiddle.
Yeah, that's right.
If you listen to him anyway.
God, I love him. I love Jay. Yeah. That character just kills me because he's always like, ah. Oh.
He's like, he's juicy. Yeah.
He's juicy.
Since he does stand out on his, since he is a ranger, I would hope that he would stand out on his own even more than the other buddy boys do eventually.
Yeah, but he's just such a bastard, and I think that's what's kind of great about. He's such a pompous bastard, and it's just awesome.
Nobody in the show except maybe Ryuji is likable, like, as a person.
No. They're all kind of good guys.
Everybody's kind of a pain in the ass
in one way or the other. But
just stuck with all of them.
So we have the beginning of two kind of sub-stories that go on in here. One is involving Yoko and Jay, who end up sort of, he goes off to, you know, he's like, oh, I'm going to find the Metroid. And she's like, what? And they just end up wandering through the forest for a while. But back at the hole, Masato's. Well, and here comes the part where I like this episode, because one of the things it does is something that you don't always see, which is them using, and it's particular for this series because the vehicles have a lot of utility, they're actually using the mecha in a functional way.
It's the exact opposite of what Gokhadra did.
Well, it's like when they were talking about how to lower him down into the hole. It's like the best thing to do would get Misato, and hey, that's what they do.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I liked that part earlier too, where they're addressing the possibilities for descending the hole and giving good reasons for why none of them work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right. and exactly that point. I mean, it's exactly the opposite of Gokhadra, where like in Gokhadra it was like. The entire purpose of the other mecha was to make Gokaio.
Dude, like, Gokaiser Marvelous would have jumped down that hole himself on Transformers.
Yeah, he would have. That's totally true.
Yeah, he would have, and he would have been fine.
He totally would have come out of that.
He would have just dusted himself off and walked on. Yeah.
So they're going to use the crane to lower 01 down the hole. And then basically. Gurusaki 02 are going to act as defense because it's going to leave 04 prone.
You know, it might have been a better idea to have the aircraft working defense since it would have, like, a wider range of operation.
The only problem with that is it's not as heavy fire. So
yeah.
Which
he doesn't use anyway. So.
Yeah, but with 02, he could actually sort of form, like, a wall defense, basically.
Yeah.
He could sort
yeah.
of act and knock them True. Back. Whereas, you know, 03 really is a sort of fast attack.
Yeah.
It's offensively useless.
That way he has
I wouldn't say that
because Japan.
I would say it's all light fast offense. It's like light armory, but it's not really.
If she was fighting bugglers with it, it'd be great.
Yeah, exactly.
But sometimes you need a linebacker.
Right. True. Yeah, exactly. You need a tank is what you need, and that's basically what 02 is. In that way. So, and it's a good thing that he's there, because when coming up out of the hole are two of the
Bug Zords.
So they know immediately they're dealing with a alpha type. And so that begins the long sequence of 02 fighting off the Bug Zords. Then we go back to Yoko and Jay wandering through the forest.
Jay molesting a tree.
Jay molesting a tree because of all the beautiful sap. And again, as we remember the Jay, and that's why I say she keeps calling him Juicy. So I'm wondering if like the better translation on that would be like sappy, but I don't think that would have the same. I mean, I think the more direct translation would probably be sappy. But
so
sappy has a different connotation in English. So
exactly,
sappy also doesn't start with a J, which is important for this.
Yeah. Right, and that's what I'm saying. She's calling him Juicy, but I don't think that's the actual translation.
Well, in that way, what they chose for the translation of it does work.
Yeah, I think it works better. Yeah, I mean, in the long term, that ends up working a lot better. So,
and of course, the TV Nihon version would just have the untranslated Japanese.
Yeah,
this basically confirms that beneath his armor, Jay is a Heracross.
Yeah,
and I would buy that.
Yeah. So eventually the drill thing pops out and starts fighting them and tears up
it
a tree.
It pops up right under where Yoko was standing.
Yeah, and of which I believe the USADA mentioned earlier that she should make sure she had enough sweets and stuff with her.
And that never turns out poorly for
that
her at all.
She did have
sweets with her.
That's a flag for defeat,
isn't
it?
She did, but she's supposed to, like, keep those going.
Proving the point that, needing constant sugar intake is not her actual weakness. Her actual weakness is she's so f***ing stupid she doesn't remember to
eat.
She's a teenager.
Yeah. Tell that bitch.
No, to be fair, I don't think the sweets thing was really her fault this time.
No,
well,
she had something.
She should have paid attention and taken a few bites as they were walking along. I mean, she knows that they could be in
the
midst of a fight.
But the ultimate problem that was presented was not really her fault.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you want to be nice, I guess, but, you know.
Now, look, I'm all for the idea that she is too stupid to live unassisted.
Okay.
At least in this case.
Remember to wipe your ass.
Okay,
so,
intro quote?
Yeah. Probably. Most likely. So they're in the midst of the fight, and of course the drill thing is like cutting trees and shit down. And she forgets her sugar, so she's laying now helpless on the ground. And just as she goes for her sugar pack, the one smart thing the Metaroid does is shoots it out of her hand. And he's like, "Oh, bitch! I bet you weren't expecting that, huh?" And then gets shot in the back, like, "Oh, I wasn't expecting that." Yeah. But yeah, that would have been funny. That would have been good too. Be like, "Hey, it's a chicken, ha ha!" And then cut his head off.
Realizes Hiromu's particular weakness, he'll probably find a way to make the chicken Metaroid.
Oh man, I'm waiting for a chicken robot Metaroid.
They gotta wait for that. They gotta hold that for like the end of the series, though, because otherwise he would make nothing but chicken Metaroid.
Yeah.
Either that, or it will be in a hyper battle video.
Well, no, that'll be the point where Hiromu overcomes his weakness.
So, this is the point at which Jay suggests that Yoko eat the sweetness that does come from the wood.
Is long
and she considers
wood.
It carefully.
She considers it carefully.
That he presents to her.
And picks it up with her
He
finger.
Presents his wood to her and suggests that she suck on it. In order
she
to,
she hesitates at first.
She takes a taste of the sticky clear part that comes out.
Sweet juices, the sweet juices that come from the wood.
There's some horrible, horrible fan art. That's probably going to emerge from this episode.
Yeah,
he's a total.
Yeah. What's the point of it? The episode already showed us everything.
Yeah, I mean, really, there's no imagination there.
Yeah.
So she eats a tree sap. And that makes her all better.
Another point for my Heracross theory.
Yeah, USADA seems very offended that she did this too.
Yeah. So
he's very scandalized about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, back at the hole, so we finally get.
We're still talking about Yoko?
Yeah. So we get 01 to the bottom of the hole.
We actually see a drill Megazord this time, and like last time.
Yeah. So he gets to the bottom of the hole, and there's your alpha type with the drill attachment, and two more Bugzords. So, he's in a bit of a pickle now, trying to fight two of these damn things. Meanwhile, the fight upstairs is going on, And Hiromu has a great idea of saying, hey, hand me down the crane, and I'm going to fix this. And basically uses it as a enormous mace. And for a minute, and then latches onto the alpha type and throws him up top. meanwhile, after the Metaroid is destroyed by the combination, Special Buster Stag.
Time for Stag Attack.
Stag Attack.
Boost up for Stag Attack.
I guess. They're really stretching with these. Anyway. So
and time for Special Buster.
They destroy the Metaroid and then head back. So just in time, the whole gang is there. They destroy the two alpha. They destroy the two Bugzords and
while Jay carries the Metaroid into the Megazord into a city.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing that's going on. So they're out in the middle of nowhere with all these Bugzords and Megazords and stuff, and it's like, you know what? This just is not working for me. Let's drop it in the middle of a population.
We're not causing enough collateral damage.
I should realize the reason why they did that is so they could use
the stock footage.
The stock footage.
Yeah, which is pretty sad.
But
can you just back up for 1 second? I love the way they kill the Metaroid is that Stag punches yellow through the air like a missile.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
That's kind of a classic Showa finisher.
Yeah. Go Five.
Except usually they're punching the red through the monster.
Yeah, but yeah, no, he did. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, he did. He punched her, and she went through the air and stabbed him, which is kind of awesome. But we get to see 03 as the bunny form again, which is still oddly badass. That's not something that you.
And again, it's still amazing. 18 episodes in that we can see it.
Yeah, right. And it's still just as cool as it was the other time that we saw it. Yeah. It's like
so,
you know.
Times actually.
So Rabid Zord is the new Power Dizer.
I guess.
Yeah. But it's just kind of cool, you know. It does the rapid kicks and everything, and then I love at the end where it does like rabbit things like. Shuffles its head and the ears and stuff. It's like, eh.
And you know, one thing
it repeatedly and shits everywhere.
Yes, that too. Somewhere there's a hole.
That's why they only have one rabbit.
Somewhere there's a hole where there's like 03A, 03B, 03C, D.
Well, they have a whole rack of swords. Maybe they have a whole cage full of rabbit swords.
Oh God, that would be awesome.
Notable, Trump pellets in, Trump pellets out.
And
Otto's catchphrase whenever he transforms his Megazord is really kind of on the nose, self-referential. It is time to work my magic. He did that in both in this episode and the last episode.
I'm sure that's on purpose.
Oh yeah, it's very obvious.
Yeah, he's also wearing gold and we get it. He was from a previous series. Thank you.
That involved magic. And he was yellow.
Yep. Very good.
Yeah. Well,
so anyway, course, because he's new, he has to destroy the Megazord again.
And his Megazord still looks f***ing terrible.
This is a better fight, though. This is a much better fight.
It was
all the Zord fights, all three Zord battles in this are amazing.
And there are three Zord battles. That's also the thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of Zord fights. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, this is a big mecha intense episode.
They're well made. They use good effects. It's just a shame that the actual Zords they use just aren't that appealing.
Their individual forms to me.
I may be the holdout, but I just don't like the suit for for 04. It just doesn't do anything for me. It's very plain. I don't know.
It's got a kind of floral dairy aspect to it. It's very square and boxy.
Exactly. It's very. I mean, it's like this is why. To reference into Transformers, this is why you didn't want like a Transformers movie with boxy Transformers because it would look
it's
like
very
this.
Show.
Yeah. So, anyway, so they blow it up. Good job.
Yeah.
Nice.
And.
So what's happening next week for the Go Busters?
Oh God. I think Nick has having some penis envy issues with Jay.
Yeah. he was
that's what the guns are for?
He was the primary anthropomorphic.
This is what I'm actually thinking is that we might actually see his artillery, so to speak.
Oh,
please.
But
we did.
Wait a minute. Does that, is what you're saying the same thing that I'm thinking, or am I thinking something else? Because that means something else to me.
I think he's talking about penises.
Because that's what I thought he was talking about. Are you talking about penises?
Because I got the implication a couple weeks ago that, you know, Nick wanted to show Yoko his artillery then, too.
Yeah.
So he might be a little bit, you know, offended that.
Well,
Jay,
look at how he dresses. He was annoyed that he couldn't strip like Jay can.
Right.
Hey, get the beat.
Nick's a perv.
There's all that time tweaking his throttle.
On the other hand, based on his sense of direction, I'm not convinced he could find his artillery.
Well, that's why we haven't seen it.
Yeah, well.
That's why he just rolls his mecha and flower and finds the wet spot.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. But we get to see the Beatles Awards combination, which is, oh,
Buster
my God.
It's been worse than Go Buster Beat.
It's even worse than Go Buster O, and it's only two of them.
I can't wait to see a better look at it.
Yeah. We also get a movie preview, which looks just like an episode.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's a surprise.
Just think, before too
it's
long.
It's a Sentai summer movie. Of course it does.
Before...
Well, it's like at least like some other Sentai summer movies have shown, like, you know, there's some plot. There's something interesting to be shown. It's like, no, this is just a regular stock plot. They are going after the Energon Tower. We have to stop it. That's the movie. Okay.
Yeah.
That was the plot of episode one.
I'm pretty excited, though. In a few weeks, we'll get to see Go Cluster F*** Go.
Oh, God, why?
I've been seeing that every week since 7 or so.
This will be
but
like...
But I have enjoyed that they, in these past two episodes, this episode didn't even have Go Buster O. They still were just using
No one combined at all.
I think the major failing of this episode was no Enter.
Yeah.
True.
You always need Enter.
On the other hand, though, you can tell that the episode is just so packed full. You know,
where would he go?
Still probably in his room blowing up. You know, this far in, also, I'm surprised we haven't seen another villain.
We don't need another villain.
We don't need another villain. I'm just surprised because most shows will have, by this point, they'll introduce a new ranger, they'll introduce a new villain.
Well,
but yeah,
and in a modern Sentai series, by this point, you usually also start with a human, a non-human villain.
Yeah, that's
which we have not
so
seen
interesting.
At all, except for
so far just intershow, and I'm happy with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, also we've seen less and less of Messiah as well.
Yeah,
which is
fine. They're running out of the CG effects budget.
When's the last time we fully had two villains in the to start with? Like, I know it's early still, but I'm really hoping that like Messiah is not the final villain. And it's just Enter somehow.
Enter eats him.
Yes. Obtained his power.
I've had enough of your madness. I'm taking over.
Yeah. This is a corporate takeover. Middle management strikes back.
Sounds about right for me. All right. So, space time.
Switch on.
Yay.
Hooray.
Yeah, whatever.
Of course, only one episode, because in the middle of the golf two-parter, there was a week of golf. Luckily, we had golf still.
So, it's kind of a golf three-parter.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you didn't get enough of it last week, kids? Here's some more golf.
Yeah.
I was almost half hoping that, like, the golf cliffhanger was going to be just a gag.
I thought it was a gag.
And that there wasn't actually going to be any golf in the episode in spite of the preview.
I even thought the golf in the episode was a gag, but okay.
Well, it was, but...
That's because they only have a, you know, 20-minute slot to fill, and not the 7.5 hours golf actually takes.
Plus, it was Meteor doing the golf, so of course there was going to be a lot of wachawing. Wachawing!
And, you know, cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I don't think using Flintstones golf clubs is legal anyway. Okay, so who's doing this episode?
I have no idea.
You have no idea? That's good.
Yeah, it's going to go real well.
Okay, so last episode, Meteor Door challenged Taurus to golf. Seriously, golf.
Yeah, no, really, that did happen.
And it's like he makes no joke about it. Like Ryusei is just dead serious because he's Ryusei. But he tells Virgo to hold the f*** up. He's got a question for him. He got her.
Good job, Ken.
Yeah. Nice recovery. Anyway, Gintaro, still in the full Amagawa uniform, and still looking really, really weird as such. He looks normal. How weird.
I was like, wait. Yeah, after the 2 weeks off, I was like, wait, like, who is this person? Who is this other person? And why are they hanging out and being all buddy-buddy with the rest of the club?
Before he got name-dropped, I completely forgot Jake had gotten enlisted.
And exactly.
I did not recognize him at all until they mentioned his name. I was like, oh, right, that's Jake. Anyway, they talk with the girl with the eye patch, who is there at the same time Virgo is at the other place. So obviously, that's not Virgo.
Oh, well, so much for that red herring.
Yeah, she gets a story. She tells a story of how she and the Taurus guy were in the council, and she fell down
a flight of stairs.
Damn it, you beat me to it. Knocked down a flight of stairs. Damn you, Fort Max.
Now it seems to me that if Inoue had written this, there would have been a river down at the bottom of that flight of stairs.
Yeah. Or she would have just got tossed off a bridge.
No, I think you have to keep the flight of stairs or it loses some of the impact.
There can be stairs next to a bridge.
Dump her off over a bridge and into a river.
No, yeah. I mean, come on. We're in, like, Kamen Rider Sentai zone here. We all know that flight of stairs could have ended in a river anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to get pushed off.
Because she could have rolled down those stairs, and then all you need is a cutscene to her, like, rolling, like, towards the river. And then you're done.
Metal Hero, sure.
Back to Meteor, he asked Virgo that way back when, which is some nice continuity, he got a hint from her of, who Pegasus was, and that it was Kijima. And he's like, why the hell did you do that? She's like, you think I'm on your side? You are full of some kind of crack. I'm out of here.
Several kinds of crap, probably.
Yes.
It's the meth.
Yeah. So we go to...
It's a hell of a drug.
Ryusei. At a batting cage, which Miyu has rented out the entirety of, conveniently.
Well, not really a batting cage,
Well, not batting cage. I was thinking the last GoBusters.
It's called a driving range in this sport.
Thank you. Golf is a thing.
It's very nice of Shun to dress for the part, too.
Yes, I was going to say. We are introduced to Shun's
outfit. They go to the golfing cage.
Golfing cage.
Cage.
Where it becomes quickly obvious that Ryusei has absolutely no idea what he's doing.
It is kind of a golf and cake anyway,
too. Yeah, they're like, so, golf and stuff. He's like, yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, I've never done that in my life. They're like, oh,
but I'm all elite and stuff, so, I'll figure it out.
I'll win anyway.
Next day, back at the school, Tomoko gets accosted by the Nazis, and it runs the away. She trips and falls and gets pulled into Omoto's office. The professor dude from back in Kyoto.
Wait, she's getting accosted by Nazis? Is this original Kamen Rider?
No, actually. But it's the 40th anniversary, so you gotta call your callbacks. I'm waiting for Hongo to swing in from a...
Well, no, it's not gonna be Hongo. It's gonna be, Gintaro or maybe...
Now if they were accosted by Nazis in the hospital...
Well, there you go.
Anyway, in Emoto's in his office, she notices all these pictures and memorabilia of the moon. She's like, "Oh, you must like it a lot." It's like, "No, I hate it."
He hates it ever since his best friend died there, but he just can't stop getting the stuff.
Huh. It's just habit now.
Funny about that. So he offers her a drink, and he's a kind old man.
It sounds like some other collectors we know.
Yeah. Anyhow, Gintaro realizes that the previous council president ain't gonna be a tree that can bark up on because bark up. Regardless, apparently her ideals were the same as Taurus. But they spot Taurus about to purge one of his subordinates because she failed once to get Tomoko. So Gintaro rushes in, transforms, and conveniently forgets that he can't touch the guy.
Well, even if he knows he can't touch him, he's not going to stand there and let it happen.
Yeah, he does at least stop it from happening, which is, you know, he did his job. He does, though, use Wheel then to run the f*** away.
And segues them to safety.
So, like, what the hell? And Taurus is like,
how,
you know,
improbable.
Like, none of you saw that.
And zombifies just, like, a third of the school.
Yes. So now we have a whole bunch more zombified Nazis to hunt.
Now they just need some zombie paper.
Yeah. So everybody, Ten Hutsing, is commanded by Jake to go hunt everybody down. Which is a really weird thing to say. Jake commanding anybody.
So it's an army of Jake-booted thugs?
Yeah. But apparently, they learned from the girl that he freaked the hell... That Taurus freaked the hell out when the previous president had her flight of stairs incident. So they realized that, oh, he must have liked her, and that's why he's doing this, so he can give her a perfect school, quote-unquote. While the girl, they'll meet again for the rest of the episode, sobs about having liked him also. Yeah. Anyway, up
Are
on...
Are you sure Inoue didn't write this episode?
Up in space, Tomoko is by herself, thinking about the fact that Kengo's dad, you know, died probably where she's sitting. Because she is morbid like that, and picks up a space rock. Then cut to the other B-plot... because we have, like, three plots running in this episode, with Taurus and Meteor having their golf competition, which is the golf course from hell.
Quite literally.
Yeah. Complete with ominous signs. So Meteor signs his name, Meteor, of course. Gets a club from Shun, and knocks his ball to the side of the lake, and then Taurus catches up, and then, of course, when he's trying to knock it all the way over the lake, Taurus... actually does something surprisingly sporting and hits this ball with so much accuracy that it lands underneath Meteor's before it hits the water and bounces it onto the shore.
It was a pretty good effect for it, to be honest.
Yeah. Got
skills. And then Meteor's probably looking at it like, oh, I'm guess we got to finish this.
No, I'm pretty sure Meteor was confident the whole way through, and we'll get to why in just a second.
Yeah, this is true. So he knocks it off into the woods where nobody can see, while Taurus knocks it into the green, or sort of dead grass. It's supposed to be the green, though.
it wouldn't be the golf course from hell if it was green.
Yeah, Meteor steps up, and he's like, and everybody else is like, well, we are f***. He's like, nah, Shun... take this. I'm going to use my other club. So he transforms into Meteor Storm and whips his staff around and supercharges the ball because apparently this was not against the rule book. Blasts through the entire forest, literally, toppling like about 10 trees in the process, and proceeds to birdie the hole.
Now, see, I'm pretty sure that the whole time Ryusei was planning to do this
true.
As soon as it became necessary to catch up.
Yeah, he's like, you know, my super form has a stick. It can supercharge stuff. I can control
it. His super form has a stick that remote controls
Whatever he hits.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
That's why he was so confident in challenging into the game in the first place. Because he's like, I got this shit in the bag.
Yeah, he had a surefire way to cheat and win the game.
Great lessons for the kids at home.
Yes.
So Taurus is like, you know, screw you. I didn't lose. You're mind controlled now.
Well, he still hasn't won yet because because if he got his ball in on that shot, it would be a tie and they'd have to do a playoff round or something.
But Taurus missed his last shot.
But then he proves that laws don't matter. He's a big fat cheater, so he mind controls Meteor.
Well, he never signed a contract.
Yeah,
that's true.
Screw the laws. He has horns.
Meanwhile, Gintaro is back at the hospital and convinces the former president that, you know, this stuff that's going on is pretty f***ed up. You might need a hand here. Meanwhile, Tomoko is back at the school and about to deliver a real-life moon rock to the professor, Emoto, when he walks in and sees Virgo untransforming into the professor.
So they actually did it.
Yeah, and that is really, really f***ed up. I don't care how you look at it.
Those G's.
I was shocked.
Like, see, the thing about Scorpio is that it's kind of nondescript. It had a big, deep voice, but it looks like a monster. And then, Virgo, on the other hand, is breasts, lipstick, you know.
Angel wings.
The high yeah, heels.
High heels, yep.
And, you know, and the thing about it is, it seems like it's more surprising in Forze, because Forze, more than any other Kamen Rider show I've seen, is really kids-friendly. You know, nobody dies. Nothing too terrible happens except for Kengo's dad going crazy and probably dying from asphyxiation on the moon. But that's only, you know, hinted at. It's not necessarily said. And probably Kengo's dad will not end up being dead anyway. Tachibana.
Well, not quite yet.
Yeah. That's really f***ed up, man. That's really f***ed up. So, anyway, we go back to the school where Jake is trying to lead Yuki and everybody off to safety, but no, they get cornered by the Nazis and Meteor, who is under his control, until there are fireworks and barbecue, which draws him to the rooftop where the former president is taunting him, basically, and saying, you know, dude, this is messed up. You really don't need to be doing this crap. It gets through to him. He breaks down. And Gintaro seems to actually get through to him. So actually, this works out almost pretty well, because he's about to hand the switch over, and then, of course, Virgo shows up. Natural.
Of course.
But then Taurus does something interesting. He transforms and charges at her, and Virgo shows how unstoppable him. Yeah. It's going to be hard to get used to.
That's going to be a little weird.
Yeah, it's going to be a little weird.
A little?
Yeah. So Virgo answers the question, how do you stop a bull from charging? You send him to the next dimension.
Yeah.
It's too bad, though, if Taurus would have just remembered the mind control thing, that might have been avoided.
This is interesting, though.
Yeah, but he broke his stick.
Yeah, because, like,
damn it!
It's like first time we've had a monster today, and it, like, doesn't actually get destroyed. Like, the Kamen Riders don't blow it up.
Yeah.
You can tell we're at that point of the series where it's like, okay, toy commercials are over, we have nothing new to sell, we have 10 weeks to fill, do whatever you want. You can have them lose! So, with that in mind, Forze and Meteor try to fight off Virgo. They fail miserably, despite a really cool double transformation into their super forms, because they can't do a double transformation in their human forms, as that would reveal Meteor's secret identity.
I'm sure that won't matter much longer anyway.
No, probably not. But they don't do anything. Virgo's shields are too powerful for them to get through at all. So she just taunts them. He taunts them.
There is no right pronoun for Virgo.
Oh, it just taunts them. And he's like, our final plan is about to start. You guys are screwed. Laters. Because she has no reason to stick around there. Yeah. Virgo has no reason to stick around.
Well, we don't really know how it gender identifies. So, I mean, really, if he's gender identifying as female, then, you know, be sure.
Man, this guy has got to have some.
But also, does Virgo go by a she, but the professor go by he?
Oh, God.
These are the questions we really need to have answered.
Yeah, that'll have to all be dealt with in, like, the next few episodes.
In Japanese, yeah. does Virgo use a gender-specific pronoun? Or is it a gender-neutral one?
I don't remember.
It's an interesting thing to find out, though. Regardless, Virgo...
You can go research that later, Ken.
Yeah, go take care of that and let me know how that goes.
Yeah.
That seems like more like a Fort Max job.
I do encoding.
As well as useless trivia, so yeah.
Moving
on. So the important detail here is that Virgo is the one who killed Kengo's father.
Yes, and sword. He has red eyes just like Gamow.
Yeah.
Hmm. This is an interesting thing to drop because it's...
And who is really in control here?
Yeah, it's like, how... Well, I think it is Gamow, but then...
Well,
again,
we know Gamow thinks it's Gamow.
If Imhotep has those red eyes, then does he have the same Gias power that Gamow has? To mind control people, to, you know, f*** their memories. Could Gamow actually be a good guy in the end?
Wow.
That'd be weird. I actually think that it might end up as such.
That would be trippy, wouldn't it?
Imhotep has been manipulating everybody all along. He's the one who killed Utehoshi, and he's in control of everything.
Like, he was tired of playing second fiddle and, you know, decided to run everything behind
and then,
the scenes.
So once he finds out that Hayami, you know, pulled a fast one on him with regards to Kijima, he's probably going to be, you know what, to HFIL with you. Speaking of which, he comes across Tomoko at night, and he's like, you know, I can't let you get away with seeing that because you're going to go tell the common writers and, yeah, you're going straight to the Dark Nebula.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's
so, like,
and that was the other thing, like, in this episode I was like,
like, yeah, it's like the one common writer club member that everybody loves in the fandom. Yeah, I just sent her to an equivalent of hell.
Well, she's a gosh. Don't be like it.
Yeah, but, you know, this does give me a hope because... When they sent Sonata and Kijima there, I was kind of like, oh, we'll probably never see them again. But since they've actually sent a major character there,
yeah,
maybe
that pretty
we'll
much
see all those characters.
There's a way to come back.
Yeah, maybe we might get, you know, see Kijima or Sonata again, which I'm sure that would make Otsugi happy.
Oh, yeah.
But next week, it looks like Virgo is going around and basically threatened to kill everybody because, yeah, things shit's starting to get real.
Because we have...
That's pretty good.
10 episodes left.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it 10 or is it just 8?
Probably about
8 to 10.
8 to 10. Probably 8. And
no, I mean, that's pretty good. That's the kind of thing you'd more expect for, like, you know, the final 4 episodes.
Yeah.
So they're actually expanding this out of the ways.
And we get Sagittarius in Shadow. And we get Rocket States on the TV show.
Yay.
Okay then.
Along with Tachibana on Earth and the Kamen Rider Club apparently falling apart, which is also something I would guess I would expect more in the last 4 episodes or so.
Yeah.
So we're now kind of hitting that part where O's started to fall apart, where it kind of went off on its own away from the merchandise. I'm hoping that Forze can do a better job.
O's kind of started doing that mid-series, actually.
I think he did it more a little ways after... After Terra for me, more
that
around
was about halfway.
That was over halfway. That was more like when Cosmic came in, like just a little ways after that, like around where we had the creepy stalker and the birth changeover.
Yeah, that's about when it started to fall apart.
Yeah,
yeah, when they spent more time on birth than they did on O's.
It's really when they changed the whole focus of the show from AG being the bit most desired person in the world, having no desire at all.
Randomly, like from one episode, you go, Unicorn Yummy shows you your desire is the entire world. Episodes later, you have no desire at all. Okay.
Yeah, that was the turning point.
And then this is the point that Forze is at. So then they're starting to really actually change things up in the plot now. So hopefully it'll do a bit better because... Just gotta hope.
You're going to shake things up and then rapidly undo them, and
tie them up.
Tachibana will just walk off behind a wall and suddenly be driving off on a motorcycle.
Yeah. Also, next week we see Forze on Meteor's bike, and it's like, when is the last time Meteor rides Meteor's bike?
Special train.
Like I think now we've had more people riding Meteor's bike than we've had Meteor riding his bike.
Yes, we are having special training next week.
So basically this is Forze's version of Shroud's dirt bike.
Or actually more Forze's version of everyone beating up Sky Rider until he's stronger.
night.
Oh, it'd be nice if you see like Tachibana just beating the shit out of
us. That episode. We need to watch that episode of Sky Rider sometime.
Okay.
Is it sub?
It's me.
It is basically 20 minutes of all the other previous writers beating up Sky Rider until he gets stronger.
That sounds awesome.
Wait, it's stronger or turned into stronger?
Until he becomes strong enough.
Okay, there we go.
Because, well, stronger is one of the ones beating him up.
Nice.
Is he stronger than him?
Yeah.
Well, no one's stronger than stronger.
He's stronger!
Unless you're a kid in a thong.
Well, he becomes stronger than stronger after he gets a power up.
That's
Does the power up involve a thong?
No, this isn't SPD.
You people in your thongs, God.
There's an intro quote.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Superhero Time, the internet's best tokusatsu podcast about Pokemon, Star Trek, Transformers, and your mom.
This week on Power Playback, hey Mickey.
I like that he's the first one to really laugh.
Is it Friday already?
It's time for Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
Okay, so Power Playback this week is Mask Man the movie, which is that the only thing subbed of Mask Man so far, Fort Max?
Yes. Hope so.
So
I mean,
there's no context. It makes no sense, but I don't really think context would have helped it anyway. Mickey.
So it's Kuga then.
Mickey brought this one up for Mine, us. So.
Let me sum it up for you. The Masked Men are bastards and interrupt a lesbian wedding.
I don't think that was a girl,
the end.
Dude.
Well, he said that about Virgo, too.
The end.
It's as much a girl as Mr. B Natural is.
No. The character actually is a girl.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Huh. I wasn't sure because of the subtitles.
I was right. All right, cool. So that was interesting.
Her, like, the subtitles called her a prince.
So she could actually take over the kingdom.
Okay.
It's very complicated.
I didn't think it was very complicated. A chick was trying to marry a chick, and they interrupted it, and they were bastards. The end.
So is it like a prerequisite for older martial arts-focused teams to be dickheads then? And the Die
sure,
Rangers?
Sure, why not?
The Gekki Rangers were all right, I guess, so that kind of broke the mold.
Well, except for, you know, Gekki Chopper dressing up as that kid's dead mom. That was
so martial arts Sentai teams are assholes.
So,
okay, yeah, go ahead.
Hikari Sentai Mask Man the movie opens up with a stunning synchronized swimming routine of half the men wearing bikinis, and they're all dancing around.
And this is not the right. This is not the ending. This is not the actual ending theme.
This is not the actual opening theme either. So,
yeah. And then one of them is
which
wearing.
Which is a shame because the Mask Man opening is awesome.
Yeah. This entire opening credits seems like it's an ending theme.
Yeah.
Like, look how far Sentai dances have come. Compare this to GoBusters ending.
And also, one of them is wearing a very sharp number of denim pants and a sleeveless denim shirt.
Yes.
I have no concept of who the Masked Man characters are except by their wardrobe.
You have, let's see, red, you have blue in the sailor uniform,
right,
you have black wearing the full denim suit, you have, okay. And then yellow is very tall.
I couldn't
So like the opposite of Yoko.
I couldn't follow which one of them was yellow or not.
The tall one.
What color pants was yellow wearing?
Yellow?
Well, no, somebody had orange pants, somebody had shorts.
It doesn't matter, they're women, they're all the same.
But yeah, I mean, you have denim vest, you have sailor boy, you've got,
short sailor boy.
You've got girl in shorts, you've got girl who dresses like my grandmother, and then you've got red. And mostly the explanation was just so I could use the description sailor boy.
Good job.
I'm done now.
So, once we get past the stunning opening number, we're transported deep underground where Marth from Super Smash Brothers is marrying a mermaid princess or some shit.
I think they stole this from... I think Lightspeed Rescue stole this at some point.
Yeah.
That's right. You had a mermaid girlfriend in Lightspeed.
Actually, wasn't it Change Man?
Huh? What?
Didn't I think we watched an episode of Change Man, or was it Flash Man?
I think it was Change Man we watched that was really bad.
That had a mermaid girlfriend for Change, whatever the blue one was.
Change Blue.
Sure.
They were changing whatever their animal was. I forget.
Well,
that
was a really relevant piece of conversation.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, so is this movie.
All right. So, Mary Martin in the armor tells her mermaid bride.
That's Prince Egam.
Sure. Right. Whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
Of
it is.
Of course.
Tells the mermaid bitch to sing that song I like so much. Go on, sing.
Sing for me.
And so she starts humming this awful, awful noise that might have passed as a song back in, like, you know, the PlayStation 1 era.
But this predates the PlayStation 1.
Yes, so, I mean, that's...
So this would be more like, you know, NES era, or maybe Sega Master System.
Yeah. And predictably, this noise heralds the end of the world and causes earthquakes, etc.
Oh, that's so true.
Are we and sure this isn't not... Princess Shayla?
No. Princess Shayla's up in the sky. That would be causing tornadoes.
So not only does this song produce earthquakes and apocalypse and whatnot, but it also drains that giant swimming pool and turns it into a portal to hell.
Well, that's because of the earthquake. Knocked the bottom out of it.
Looks like a portal to hell to me.
So back to the
it's a portal to where the singing's coming from.
So back to the villain's lair, they're giving us the exposition that tells us what the hell is going on here. And they initially issue the ultimatum, but keep her singing even if it costs her her life. Which... Wow.
I mean, that's a high price to pay, you know.
How long do you just sink before it actually kills you?
Can I just note, though, that the head villain of Masked Man has a really f***ing cool costume design?
Which one was the head villain again? The woman?
No, the guy that was standing in the back.
Armor.
That probably cannot move at all, but it looks really cool.
I don't know how long she would have to sing to kill herself, but I know that she would only have to sing about 5 minutes for me to kill myself.
At that point, you wouldn't care anymore.
Probably until she kills herself means until she causes the cave to cave in on her.
That would make more sense, yes.
Until the cave is just filled with so much despair from having listened to the song that it commits suicide by falling down.
It kills itself. It's like, we can't take this anymore.
Either that or the Dungeon Master just gives up.
Please shut her up.
The Masked Men are fascinated by the beautiful song, so they hop down into the earthquake hole and end up in the cave. And
that has yellow chains all over the place.
Earthquake hole! Yeah. Oh, God.
And so they look around, and they see all the dead Zubats all over the floor and think, oh, maybe this is something we should fix here.
Oh, shit.
So, out of nowhere, grunt troops, and it's karate time.
The days before really impressive transformations, they just appear in a puff of smoke.
God, I know, there was like a puff of smoke, and then they changed, I was like,
And that's even a little more than Jew Ranger did a few years later.
Yeah. Well, this is a movie, you know, they got a higher budget.
Hell,
it's a Sentai movie, though. It's produced exactly the same way as an episode of the TV show.
I know, that's why I started laughing.
All right, so while Princess Roy is shooting force lighting out of her hands, Red takes this opportunity to steal the bride. Because, I mean, obviously, that's what you do, is you take the woman without asking what's going on.
Well, she's in white. She's obviously innocent.
Yeah, clearly.
So he teleports.
And then he's going to go back to get for the other bride.
So he teleports her to a nice field full of flowers and then tells her that, you know, hey, that bitch don't love you. What you doing? And she's not really buying it. She seems to realize that Red is crazy and an asshole.
Well, of course. He's the leader of a martial arts-themed Sentai.
So she shoots him in the face.
Well, she sings him in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same difference, die. Really.
I mean, well, no, I mean, in this case, I think that's arguably worse.
Yeah.
It's a more damaging thing to do to him.
Yeah.
So, she makes a break for it. The Ghostly Knight bitch shows up, and dump troops arrive, and they bust up the party. So, Prince Egum and the mermaid chick run away, and then it's revealed that, oh, no, she doesn't really love her. She actually does want to smack her around.
Oh, well.
Well, Japanese husband, you know.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
So, sing! Sing if you want to live!
Which will kill you.
I'm fairly certain it's a reality show.
Sing if you want to live.
If not, it should be.
Well, Simon Cowell.
Sing
comes
for your life.
And shoots you in the face.
I believe it will be replacing Dancing on the Stars. Best press best passive aggressive press release ever.
So the mermaid bitch begins to reluctantly sing her song of sadness, and
sad
causes
song of sadness.
And our song of sadness too, because we are forced to listen to this shit.
And somehow it causes scarves to disappear from tree branches. I really don't understand what that's about. Is it symbolic or
Japanese thing? Just roll with it.
Okay, I thought maybe we wandered into a Bonnie Tyler video or something.
Or that.
Speaking of which, she does have this wonderful 80s headband. It's very flash dance with little pearls hanging off of it.
Well, it is the
80s. It's just a lovely dated touch.
As if the clothes were not enough.
So, she keeps singing, more earthquakes happen, and then a fairly awesome-looking monster shows up for a quick little cameo. It's sort of like a Ankylosaurus-type thing with glowy spikes coming out of his back.
And the face animation actually is decent. I was like, hey, that doesn't look half bad. I felt like I was watching The Voyager or something. Like from
the one
Navigator
with the salamanders.
From, like...
That one episode of Voyager?
No. Yeah, the one episode of Voyager. Some kind of classic 80s film with a really great...
Say my name, Red Mask! So, up on the surface, while all the shit's going down, they all realize, oh, she finally realized that she's being used. We can hear the sadness in her song now.
Okay.
Guess we better save her.
Guess we better save her.
Yeah, we got nothing better to do today. Let's go save the bride. Mm-hmm.
We can go back to the pool and dance.
Which the only person that really gets any decent like time in the team is Red, too, because everybody else is just sort of like... Even at one point, they just randomly show up.
He's Red.
They're like, hey, we were done with that thing we were doing. We're here now.
So they run back into the cave, and
the
princess is...
With the chains.
Yes, with the chains. And Ariel is apparently sung so much that she's cried herself to a dehydrated husk of a human.
Damn.
Well, you skipped over the part where Princess What's-His-Name made her ocean of tears disappear, too.
Yes. Well, in a brilliant reverse photography moment.
Yeah, I love that. You know, her home is the ocean of tears. She lives in sadness.
Oh, God. I think that predated the whole goth movement a little bit.
Sounds like something that, oh God, like the guys. It's like the inspiration behind the new Spider-Man or Devil May Cry.
Oh,
sadness, all sadness. Cue up a Linkin Park song.
So, they make a quick escape. So they quickly get the drill mecha to come drill them an escape route.
But not before he kicks the prince bitch in the face, like dead.
Yeah.
Just flying sidekick straight in the middle of the face.
Well, Japan husbands, you know.
Yeah. Well, that was Red Mask. I mean.
Exactly.
So Red Mask grabs the mermaid and he takes her to his Camaro.
And then it's suddenly not a Camaro.
Then it's like a Toyota or something.
Yeah, it transforms into a Mazda at some point, I think. Mm-hmm. But the important thing is he takes her to the ocean, where he's going to dash her against the rocks.
And then they look out over the cliff, and then there's a bald guy with an arrow on his head standing next to... Oh, wait, that's something else, sorry.
I don't get it. What's it from?
Huh?
Legend of Korra?
I have not seen more than one episode.
Yeah, Paladin just Space Hulked you there, Mickey.
Wow. Oh, that could mean anything.
Okay,
nothing, because I don't even know what Korra even looks like at this point, so...
Okay, so Paladin just Purple Space Hulked you then, so... Is that more specific for you, Paladin?
What the f***?
Wow.
Yet this still makes more sense than this Mask Man movie.
Although the Mask Man movie makes perfect sense, it's just not very interesting.
Oh, it's plenty interesting. It's just dumb.
Well,
it's fantastically stupid.
I guess I'll give you that.
So, Red and the mermaid, they have a nice little moment of sitting in the water and getting their underwear soaked. And then she digivolves into her champion form, where she gives up legs for a tail.
Do mermaids wear underwear?
I don't see why they'd need to. They don't have anything.
I think when they're in their human form, it's just like a scaly...
Now if it's a mermaid with the fish part on top...
It's really just a scaly-looking... It's really just a scaly vag flap, really, is all it is.
Well, how is that different from what a regular woman has?
Well, because that's what underwear would do, but in this sense, it's just scales doing it.
But yeah, to Fort Max's point, the mermaid with the fish for a top is really... It's the less popular form of mermaid that you don't really hear about. So much.
God, it does have a workable vagina, though. So.
And it still has a mouth.
God.
And then you have the Slayer's mermaids.
Oh, God, yes!
What's the Slayer's mermaid?
Essentially, it's a fish with just legs sticking out of its back and arms sticking out of its front.
Fish people.
That seems a little awkward.
So it,
yes,
it's
it is
a fish
very
with the fish part in the middle and the human part on the outsides.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Hold on. There is it. There it is.
Oh, no.
Oh, Lord.
Incoming link.
Well, Ken, you just found the hole.
Oh, God. Oh, God, I'm scared. Oh, there's 14.
There's a worse picture when I hit Google Images that I could have picked, so...
Oh.
Count yourself lucky.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back in Mask Man...
Oh, okay.
It's morphing time. And so we have to get a morphing sequence where apparently they fly through the air through a cloud of silly string. And,
and that does.
Spandex.
That's about all they had for budget in the Showa era. Hmm.
So then we get a nice long drawn out fight scene with lots of villains and grunt
And they
troops.
Use the silly string again against the dump troops.
And they get to use their masky weapons, which is apparently all the weapons have to be prefaced with the word masky.
So did all the mecha.
Which is dumb, but kind of endearing at the same time.
Because it's dumb.
Yeah. And also, I love their big cannon weapon that they use, because, like...
They have a backpack.
It's the four bullshit rangers holding up that heavy thing and firing it, while Red just stands around behind it looking proudly.
And, like, does the wave and thing.
No, Red's holding this f***ing huge backpack.
Yeah.
Yeah, Red has the most important job. He's got the power supply.
It's a quarter of the size of the cannon, though.
Well, there are four people holding up the rest of the cannon.
And Red makes it fire three times as fast.
If Red was not there to stand in the back and hold up that backpack, the thing wouldn't work at all. So they really need to stop their bitching.
Yeah.
Couldn't they just set the backpack on the ground?
No.
No, then it wouldn't be a backpack anymore.
It's very important that it be held up.
Well, you don't want bears to get to it.
That's right.
Well, you know, it probably has to be elevated so that the energy can flow down the tube.
That's right.
That's right. It's gravity fed.
A gravity-fed battery pack.
You know, at this time, I would believe anything.
It probably works just like the Thunderclash missile launcher.
Air bellows?
No, those little tiny little missiles that just slide down, which is also why it's so deadly.
Yeah, if you aim that thing at a kid's mouth...
Yeah.
It's all over.
Wow, that's an intro quote right there.
Yeah, but it's a little too long.
that's another intro quote.
I think I already have one of those.
That's another intro quote.
Okay, so, with the big cannon fired, the monster of the day, the Ankylosaurus thing, is about, you know, it's time to make it big. So they send out their shellfish, which opens up and then excretes energy, then complains, "Oh, I'm spent now."
Did they ever shoot that thing?
Why did that monster just ejaculate all over the dead body and then make it grow?
Yeah, Maskman's monster growing process is kind of upsetting.
But for what JD's saying, it doesn't really make sense, because the monster wasn't nachos.
Right. Where were the nachos in all of this?
It sounds like you're eating nachos.
Maybe.
Well, it has been a long show.
That's right. We had to make some sour cream covered nachos.
So, Mecha gets summoned, and the Mecha are pretty cool, actually. And they have a nice... Yeah, they got a nice little combination sequence. Then we get the Megazord costume, and it sucks. But that's not really surprising any of us at this point.
Of course, yeah, Zubrin show era.
I'm pretty much everything between Battle Fever J and Zoo Ranger, the mecha costumes suck.
I don't know, I like Jetman's stuff.
Still boxes.
It is still boxes, but it's not bad looking boxes.
It's well put together.
The
boxes.
Garuda is more impressive in Jetman.
Yeah, I would say so.
So. Monster gets defeated by a half a dozen different attacks.
By the kids! By the toy kids!
So that, then that's done. They grab the mermaid by the tail and sling her into the ocean. And then we get a nice helicopter shot of the team standing there on the cliffs of Ireland like Highlanders.
It would have been really great if there was, like, Orca, and then they would have, like, batted the mermaid back and forth, you know? Like, oh, look, dinner! Whack! Whack! Or
a pot of dolphins came up and raped her?
Yes, that too.
Lord!
Or if she would have just got...
Like, it happens!
Or if she would have got caught in the tuna net.
That would have been awesome, too. And they just stab her and throw her back in.
Which is really the whole point of this episode, is you can't tuna fish.
Oh! Oh!
Oh! Oh! Humor!
Comedy. I'm not sure I call that humor.
Well, we're laughing, aren't we?
Oh, wow.
I'll give you that.
I thought the singing was bad.
That's our Rocky and Bullwinkle moral for the episode.
Now for something you really like.
Wheel of morality. Turn, turn, turn.
Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
We're morally bankrupt.
girl quote.
Yay!
That sounds like a quote for like a Superhero Time ad. Just cut it at the end there.
Yeah, I should take some of these old intro quotes and cut them together into a bumper for the other shows to run.
Yes.
So they'll be down to only one viewer too.
Yeah, I have like one live listener for Fanboy Versus right now.
Yeah, you want to just stop doing that show live?
Yeah, I don't know. We talked about it.
I thought yesterday. I enjoyed it at least.
See, there's our one listener.
Mind you, I can only watch it like every 4 weeks because I'm never off on Sunday. So,
well, I guess
and you still listen to and enjoy this show too. It doesn't really prove.
Yeah,
anything.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I didn't say I enjoyed it for the right reasons.
Yeah, we talked.
I mean, that's
some people enjoy train wrecks.
We talked about some heavy stuff on my show yesterday too.
Yeah, I know. Y'all handled yourself pretty well.
Thank you. We liked it.
Talked about
your mom. You know.
Quiet.
Yes. Just ride the wave in.
Catch the wave.
So this Masked Man thing was, wow.
It sure was.
It did not inspire me to watch more of it.
No.
Well, that's
which is damn good because there's very little available.
And I know that I was really disappointed when I pulled up, I pulled it up on the like Morphin Grid or whatever, and the comment was it was considered to be one of the best of its era, and I was like, oh.
That usually means we hate it.
Wow.
I've heard actual series is pretty good. So, I mean, you can't really judge off of a movie because...
That's true,
because
almost
movies.
All Sentai movies are f***ing terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would not disagree with that at all.
So, like, the only one I ever really liked that much were the Gokaiger and Shinkenger ones, and not because of plot. Just because they had good, well-directed action scenes, and that was
Wait,
it.
Wait, you like the Shinkenger summer movie?
I like it as just a brief, as for the battle stuff at the end, but not much else, because there's not much else to go on.
well, God. You like the show, too, so I guess it doesn't really matter.
I love Shinkenger. Yeah, I love Shinkenger.
No, this show. I'm
he means
about.
This show.
Oh. Yeah, this show. Okay. Yeah.
You he like always it. Means
well,
this
no,
show.
I mean, the horse battle stuff, you know, towards the end, is pretty cool.
Shinkenger is just, like, the worst Sentai movie I can remember seeing.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you didn't watch Gosager.
Oh, I've seen that.
That's
I've
why
that.
I qualified that with that I remember seeing.
I've seen the Gosager movie, and that was not...
Yeah. I am assuming it was very Gosager.
It was very Gosager. It was very, very Gosager.
Well, it's okay. You know, next year they'll cut it apart. With like another episode and a half or so into a Megaforce special,
along with Shinkenger versus Gosager.
Yeah, probably.
Oh. Oh, my heart.
That'll work out great. So next week, I think we're gonna do that Skyrider episode Fort Max was talking about.
Is Sounds it subbed?
Good. Yes.
Sweet.
Can we find it?
Yeah. It
I'm
should
sure
be on
Fort
Kit's,
Max can hook us up.
It should be on Kit's website.
I'm sure Fort Max can hook us up either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get that link.
Here's the important question.
He's our dealer.
Yeah.
Will Pal's computer be able to play it?
Yes. A 60% chance.
Yeah, Kit Subs does both AVIs and MKVs.
Oh, that's right. They're the ones that sub the
original series. And the original series, too.
Yeah, okay.
Along with the Kamen Rider musical that exists.
Yeah, the Decade musical?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I have not worked up the nerve to.
Huh.
It's definitely an hour plus that you'll get taken up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently in Korea's Captain Force, they're going to call Denji Man Power Man.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's a very Saban name.
Saban's Power Man.
Power Man. Oh, so then... I can't wait to hear what the Mobi Rate sounds like.
I know, I'm still waiting for videos of that to turn up.
Power Man!
They're taking Battle Japan out of the Ranger key sets.
Really?
Really.
What are they replacing it with?
Gokai Green.
Well,
what?
That's f***ing random.
That's what it looks like anyway.
So they're probably not going to get any of the Jacker ones, are they?
That's aww. Weird.
Those seemed innocuous enough.
They just don't like Japan.
Yeah, they certainly do like making money off the stuff Japan makes.
Yeah.
Well, they also, of course, didn't want to do Shinkenger at all, and instead did Gowranger.
Again.
No, well, they did. Well, yeah, considering they did Wild Force, yeah.
Yeah, they did Wild
Force. Because that was the point they ran out of Power Ranger series, so they go to the Sentai series, and instead of doing Shinkenger, they do Gowranger when they'd already done Wild Force.
Well, they have a little Power Ranger Samurai next.
they probably won't because...
Didn't do Shinkenger.
Yeah.
I know, but they'll do the Americanized version without all the Japanese influence, though, is what I'm saying.
But
Power Ranger Samurai Force.
Yeah, see, Samurai alone is probably too Japanese.
No, it's just that they have to use Force for everything.
Just like your mother.
Power Ranger Sword Force.
That's okay, I guess, because, I mean...
No, it's really not.
It's better than Captain Force.
I was going to say, it's not up to the level of Captain Force, so it's not okay.
Yeah, Captain Force is kind of amazing.
It really is.
I wonder if the term pirate has more negative connotations there than it does here.
Like ninja in England?
Yeah, or like movement that actually are pirates in that corner of the world.
Power Rangers Hero Force.
Power Rangers Hero Storm.
What did they do with Ninja Storm in over there anyway?
I don't know.
Or is that still not as much of a thing as it used to be?
Nobody knows.
Power Rangers Force Storm.
Power Rangers Storm.
Storm Force.
Power Rangers Force Force, yeah. Nice. Well, that'll probably be our show for this week, then. I think we've done everything we can.
We've done all the damage we can do.
We're sorry, really much.
Except to your mother, and that's why we're leaving.
Right.
You've got things to do. Specifically her. Oh,
yeah. I've rented a jackhammer.
Intro quote. Okay. So next week is Skyrider episode 28, I take it, Mortmax.
Yes.
So that'll be fun, because Skyrider gets beaten up for 20 minutes. Until he becomes strong. Not stronger?
Of course, y'all realize that every episode that Mortmax picks for us is a disaster.
Yeah.
True.
I'm fully prepared to just go
Well, name
off
one show we've done that wasn't a disaster.
Godzilla.
Armor Hero.
Kuga.
Phone Braver.
Kamen Rider Black.
Ugh. I wish Phone Braver would have gone over better. It's a really good show.
It's like a decent show. It's just only tangentially connected to what we're doing here.
Well, more so than Danger 5.
Danger 5 is a really good show.
Yeah, well, we chose Danger 5, though, because Danger 5 is so awesome it overrides everything else in our lives.
Yes.
I mean, at least Phone Braver was produced by the same people who produce the stuff we do normally anyway.
True.
So, it's not like it was completely out of there.
But Danger 5 had Hitler.
Well, and yes, as always, kill Hitler.
No, that's a Tyrannosaurus.
Actually, at some point we need to do Jew Ranger episode something.
Yeah, Jew Ranger that one.
Episode something.
The most recent
that's
one.
That's the best episode of Jew Ranger.
The most recent one that's been subbed, I don't remember what number it is.
20?
18?
20?
Well, that's...
21's going to be tomorrow, and that's the first one with Dragon Caesar.
Yeah, we need to do 20 because...
Delicious Dragon Caesar.
We need to do 20 because of what happens in the first 4 minutes of the episode.
Do not put sour cream on Dragon Caesar.
Wow.
No, Paladin. Not what happened in the first 4 minutes of this episode. What happened in the first 4 minutes of the Jew Ranger episode.
You really think JD needed 4 minutes?
Well, no, but we established that in the first 4 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
I don't see anything that happens in Jew Ranger 20 could be any better than their boss trying to blow up that kid with hand grenades in episode 17.
Well, okay, I'll just go ahead and spoil 20. So Griforz or Goldar, up to that point, has not been able to talk.
Really?
Yeah. And between episode 19 and episode 20, Bandora gives him the ability to speak as a reward. And
the first thing he says...
is to his wife, which is, women shouldn't be on the battlefield. Go home and do some laundry or something.
Wow!
And his wife is Lami, a.k.a. Scorpina.
Wow.
And it's actually interesting, too, because commonly it was a misconception that Griforzer just chose not to talk up until that point. Because nobody
actually got to see it.
Until somebody actually translated it for real instead of just guessing what was going on.
20 years later.
Yeah.
Wow.
But
And of course, remember who his boss is.
Yeah, a woman.
Who never fights.
Well, that's not really the point of the scene.
And actually, she's down on Earth all the f***ing time.
Oh, well.
On that bicycle.
And Dora, she's pretty hardcore.
I need to watch Jew Ranger.
Yeah, you should. I mean, at least pick it up from the Burai episode.
Yeah.
I like
You're right. The hand grenades and machine guns thing was pretty awesome, too.
About the good guys.
I mean, that's kind of on the same level as the Die Rangers telling the kid that his dead mother's at the train station.
Or dressing up as a dead mother on Christmas.
Exactly.
And then there's Ashley trying to murder a child.
Yeah. Old Sentai was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Wish we could get that now. The Gokaijers should have totally tried to kill some kid somewhere.
Wow.
Well, maybe that's why he threw that key in the second episode.
I was going to say, you could argue that Marvelous was trying to get that kid killed just by giving him the key that he didn't know how to use.
There's that.
Yeah, so that would work, too. It's less guns than, you know, bombs and things, but... It
plausible
has a certain
deniability.
Appeal. Exactly.
He stole that thing from me, and I couldn't help it. Ran out to the street
with it. What are you going to do?
Oh, yeah, I'm taking the key back and the mobile rights. Wait, are you going to do something about it?
Okay, that's our show. Thanks for listening. Next week, blah, blah, blah.
Bye, I guess.
Wow.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Follow us on Twitter at Superhero_Time for weekly power playback and updates about the show. Visit tfradio.net or find us on iTunes for previous episodes and to subscribe to the show. Superhero Time is a TF Radio Network production. Copyright 2012.
All right, that didn't go so bad. My cow didn't even die.
Wow.
Yeah, because you're recording it.
Yeah.
I know. That's amazing, isn't it? When I don't have to record, it works just fine.
No, I actually literally have a problem with my connection where if I were signed on to AIM, my connection would die. Like, if I wasn't signed on, it would work perfectly. I can never
that's
figure out why.
Particular.
Yeah. Maybe that was your ISP killing it.
Yeah.
Well, what it was is just, you know, you're trying to be prevented from using AIM, which you can't really call a bad thing.
Yes,
well,
yes.
No. No, this is a long time ago, though.
Oh, back when it was, like, a thing?
No, it's never been.
Never been a thing? Okay.
Well, it was a thing in the late 90s.
Everybody still, and a lot of people
back
still.
Back then, a real player.
Oh, God. Yes. Ah, real player.
See, that's what we should have done for our 100th episode. We should have done an episode in real media form.
God.
Nobody would go through that much trouble to listen to us.
Well, then it wouldn't be any different from normal, would it?
Yeah, that would be pretty much the same.
Yeah, but at least you make it easier for people to not listen.
I think it'd be easier for people to not listen if it was in a format they couldn't play.
Yeah, but here they can look at it and say, I could download this and play it within 5 seconds. Nah, not gonna bother.
Super Hero Time! 次回もお楽しみに!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.